Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Kim Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The flame is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I enjoyed it, baby. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and I guess I got a lot of meetings at attend to this morning. Started a little late. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. Today is Tuesday, September 5th, 2023. You know, in history, you know, when we talk about people who are living with us now, and then they die, they do this at funerals all the time. The guy was an asshole, the guy was a jerk, the guy was an idiot, blah, 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 blah. Couldn't stand the guy or the woman. Couldn't stand him. They were a gossip, whatever. But all of a sudden they pass away and then they have nothing but nice things to say about them. Human nature. Human nature. Same thing goes with our figures of history, Martin Luther King and everybody. We just want to remember the good things, and there are heroes, and sometimes we put them a little bit above who they actually were. In reality, they were human. In reality, they sucked. We're going to talk about some of those people, Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, you know, things like that, what they did. And the reason we're doing that is because it looks like Donald Trump is going to take the primary, and he's going to be the Republican's candidate for president of the United States. And usually, after all said and done, what is his library going to look like? What are we going to remember after he fades away? Because you got numbnuts right now remembering that he's a great guy. He's not a great guy. He's an idiot. But you have these people with this mindset that he's a good president. He was an awful guy. But as he fades away in history, what are we going to remember him by? And our minds are going to be a little clouded. And what are the kids are going to learn about him in school? And is he going to be up there as a hero, as a president at 45, I think he was 45, president of the United States of America? Our minds tend to want to go to the good part and not reveal the bad part. We're going to explore how our mind works when people we thought were heroes, but they really sucked. And we're going to go over a couple of those things today. Let me see. Looks like Donald Trump will be the guy. If you'd like to come into the studio, you want to talk. We just came off of a holiday. The number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. Hey, Pat Oberlin is the best in business. She's the best. And the best of it is, and we have fun with her. She's one of the morning crew. Psychics. She's the best. Best in the business. She's a psychic. You might have heard her on talk about herself last week as she's a witch. She's a psychic witch. She's good. Nobody better than Pat. But sometimes when Pat's not there, you know, I run around with scissors. I'm like the evil Santa's elf when Santa's not there. You know, with the misfit toys. So if Pat's not there, if you want a reading from me, and they're good readings, by the way, but they're, you know, unofficially, because I'm not really a psychic, but they're good readings. Come in the studio, 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. I'll give you a reading if Pat's not here, because it's like the teacher's not here and the student's running around with scissors and crayons. But if you want to talk to some about some of our subjects, same thing, 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. That's the number that gets your voice heard. And as we tend to do it, we'll start off with the news and we get to a real subject. Because, again, we do this a lot. You may know that bully next door, or that asshole, or that bitch. And it could be in your family. You may not talk to them for a while. For years, and all of a sudden they die, and you go, I miss them. What is it about human beings, you know, that kind of lie to each other, and they propel this person into a good area when this person was an asshole in the beginning? And again, we're going to go over some of those heroes that you thought were heroes at one time, like Abe Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, sort of Lincoln freed the slave, but did he really? And what did he really think about the slaves? You'll find out. So we'll talk about that. News, and if we have enough time, I never got to it, and I wanted to get to it. This is my own pleasure about mafia. I'm big with the mafia. You know, Goodfellas. Joe Pesci played this character, but the real guy was even more censorious. I mean, real asshole guy. The guy was even more dangerous. And then I wanted to talk about 12 real ghost stories that really happened. Maybe I'll do that. I wanted to get to that last week, too. They're super scary. I mean, Halloween is coming. Halloween is coming, and there's 12 super scary stories that send shivers down your spine, and they may be real. And I want to get to that. If we don't get sidetracked. Okie dokie. All right. Should we start with the news? Or no, we'll give everybody a chance to get into the studio. I'm going to get some café, as we say in France, café. That's it. And you have the number. That's all I have to say today. 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. All right, we'll be right back.
Never stop. A dreamer with the fever to be great without.
You're listening to HammerNet 27. Hey, radio, the best guy. Yeah, that's me. And you know what I'm going to do? 602, is this King? Good morning, 602.
Hey, good afternoon, Brian, or good morning, Brian. How's everybody doing?
Good morning, King. You're the first one here. I'm doing good. Good to hear your voice. Now, tell me about the weekend. What did King have over the weekend?
You know, I'm going to be honest. This weekend was really rough. It was really rough because I know Friday night I was relaxing and stuff, and but then Saturday I went over to my parents. And me and my dad, we were sitting outside talking. Well, no. Friday night I stayed. And so I was talking to my dad, and I said, you know, I said, Sunday, I want to go see our cousin, you know. And so Saturday, I had got the news, and then I had received a phone call saying that he died, you know. And this was one of our oldest. Yeah, it was one of our oldest living cousins. He was 91 years old, you know.
Oh, okay.
And with me and him, we also share the same birthday on the same day and stuff, you know. So it was a really rough weekend, you know. Me and him got a chance to spend our birthdays together this year, you know, back in April. Mm-hmm. And it was just really rough, you know what I mean? So, because I just went to a funeral the weekend before last. You know, it was another cousin who had passed, and so I've been to three funerals in this past month, you know, and so it's been pretty rough, you know, but it was a rough weekend. I really didn't enjoy myself for Labor Day. It was just things we have to go through. But all I can say is that we shouldn't have to have family reunions when someone passes away. You know,
right.
We really
got
to love one another, come together, put away the childish stuff, and just love one another. I mean, life is beginning to be too short, you know, and it's really sad. It's really sad, you know, really sad.
It is very sad. Unfortunately, it's part of life. I mean, we all pass. Some people in beliefs, and I happen to be one. I happen to be one of these people.
Yeah.
That I believe that we have our heavens, and I believe that we will see our loved ones when we reach that area. I happen to believe that. And it was my sister. We had a relative had a hard time with one of our passing, her mom. And but when I had a reminder when mom was here, she suffered a lot. And I said to her, I said, well, if the good Lord came to you and says, I'll bring your mom back. But when I bring her back, she's going to be suffering more, hurting more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because her body is deteriorating. Or she can stay with me in heaven, visit her friends who, you know, are lost ones, have peace, no pain whatsoever. And that's what we like to believe. And so, of course, you're going to accuse, I don't want them suffering and pain. And I mean, of course, I want them to be with you, Jesus. You know, of course that. Their sorrow is that the people who are left behind can't feel that void, and they have to understand that the person who passed, it was their time, and they needed to go on. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, King, but I'm trying to make as much sense as I can. Is there part two of life that they must journey to?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I have to say, and I'm sorry that happened. You have my condolence. I'm really sorry that you had to experience that.
When my cousin called me, she said, hey, you know, if you want to, you can come and see him before the coroner people get over there. And, you know, I did 70 all the way getting over there. You know, I was careful, but I did 70 because I'm like, you know, but I went inside and, you know, I just broke down, you know, and, you know, went into the room and, you know, laid on him. You know, I really didn't want to let him go. You know what I mean? He was a really great man, you know. So, you know, but, yeah, man, it was something, you know. And so now, you know, I'm really just trying to get my head together so I can, you know, got to get back to life, you know what I mean? And but
true.
What
it
is
how
it is.
Yeah,
you
know? Don't be so hard on yourself and be quickly. You have to allow yourself to mourn too. I mean, that's just part of life too. We are human.
Oh, yeah.
We have to allow ourselves to mourn. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
How is it?
It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
How would you?
Well, compared to yours, I mean, my God. Mine was good. My daughter's down. She's down from Alaska.
We went to
the SC football game. She's an SC fan, and it's good to have her around. And, you know, of course they gained about 30 pounds because, you know, she wanted to hit the eateries here, you know, the In-N-Out burgers or this and that, you know. So it was great having her here. And she's leaving tonight, and we're going to miss her. But it was a relaxing weekend. And like I said, I'm sorry the weekend that you had. But Labor Day was just a relaxing day. You know, it's relaxing, and my girlfriend got a little mad at me because I picked up the cigarette, and, you know, she got mad at this, and I told her it wasn't me, it was the cigarette, it was a bad, bad cigarette, so we got mad at the cigarette together, so we don't want that cigarette around us no more, you know, it's a badass cigarette, it's a bad cigarette, but that's it, King. I finished 3 pages of scripts about the play I want to do online. I also finished out the layout of what I want to do with the the musical talented people. Ellen may be coming in the studio a little bit, so she's happy about that. She's excited. She knows a lot of people. She knows some in-outs kind of thing. So that's what I've been doing. That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Keep myself busy, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, are the kids in school right now, the little darlings? Are they in school?
Oh, yeah. I told them, actually Friday I told them, I said that, I said, Brian told me to tell you guys hello. And they was like, oh, okay. And they was like, well, tell them we said hi. And so, you know,
good.
But, yeah.
They'll forget me soon. Brian,
oh, yeah.
Daddy, where's my new iPod? Daddy, where's my new phone?
Yeah.
No, but Brian said, hello. Daddy, look, where's my app? I want to get download my app. Yeah, tell them that man, hi. That's when you know they're grown up. They got their own eyes.
Yeah, they look pretty good, though, you know. I'm pretty proud of them, actually, both my daughters, they will be cheerleading at their first game this Saturday.
What? Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure I go live and show them cheerleading for those that want to see them, you know. And so, it's really good, you know. And then my son, he's waiting for basketball tryouts, and so I said, okay. So, yeah, they all getting big on me. I'm like, wow.
They're starting to form their own lives now, aren't they? You know, they're growing into their own. You did the right things. You laid down the foundation. Now they're kind of growing and figuring out what they're going to do, who they're going to be, what kind of person they're going to be. And, this is the exciting part, I guess. You know, you're seeing them form into a human being that they're going to be. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, King, what I'm going to do is something special for you. I'm going to read you. I know that you have your own private psychic. We won't name her name, Pat.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been watching her, King. I've been watching her, and I've been learning to treat my damn self. And you know what? I think I'm going to How would you like me, Brian Hammer Jackson, read you your horoscope? How's that? I'll fool around when she's not here. What do you say, King?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right. Yeah. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read King's his horoscope because I'm going to fool around when the teacher's gone, so the student's running around with scissors. Purely entertainment purposes only. But, King, while I get your cards together, I'm going to play your song because you have a song that's coming out. It's dropping pretty soon. You're in the middle of making it right now, and you're tuning it up,
yeah.
And you're getting ready. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
now,
I'm
but I do have a
Go ahead.
No,
oh,
go
no,
ahead.
I was just going to say I'm actually in the middle of getting ready to do the business part of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to get on BMI right now and, you know, do that part of it. And, you know, it's always the 90% business we have to do before we release the music, you know.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. You know, I'll probably be doing that the rest of this week. And then by that time, you know, by then, you know, I'll be able to promote the little clip that I have, you know. And so, that's all I'm doing right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, because I like you. I like what you did. And I know that you give away stuff, and I know you move people forward. But I'm going to learn from you. I got $50 in my pocket that my daughter did not take from me yet. If you can remember King's song, it's yours. All right, the morning crew cannot play. You guys cannot play. You guys cannot play. But I'll give you a hint. I don't give a, if you know the last word of King's song, I got $50 in my pocket, burning up right now. And it's, here's the phone number. There you go, King, our first contest, and you are the subject of it, 319-527-6099. Got $50 in my pocket, it's burning my pocket. Got to get it before my daughter does, because she'll smell money, man. She's like one of these people. I go, Papa, you still got some money. What do you mean? I smell some money. She knows it. If you can guess King's song right now, I don't give a blank. $50 is yours. We'll be right back. King, stay where you are. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network, 96.7 BT Radio. King has another song that's dropping pretty soon. You'll know the song. Maybe he has a little taste for us. We'll get to our really story. We'll get to our top stories, historical figures. We thought they were our heroes, but they really sucked ass. They were not that good. Even Abe Lincoln was an asshole. You'll be surprised who they were. And if we get to it, we got 12 real ghost stories. Halloween's coming. That's going to scare you to death. And we got those stories. And King's here. Ask King the celebrity. Ask him when his song's coming. And if King might, if he woo King, he may give you a, you know, who knows, a download. I don't know. You would have to woo him. King likes it. Be woo him, and you may get a free download of his song. His new song is coming out. And I'm telling you, it's a bullet. I love it. I really love it. His kids are on there. I really thought they were professional background studio musicians. I really did. I swear. I did not even recognize his kids on that song. I go, hey, they're good. Where did you get that chorus? I swear, King, I did not recognize the kids. I swear I did not. They were real good, too. Real good. All right, I'm Brian Hammer Jackson. We'll be right back. I don't give a blank. $50 yours. We'll be right back.
You are a cynical bastard, you know that?
To reclaim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many we are one.
You hear that line? Line's for you. Don't make me laugh. For one people. It's a myth created by Thomas Jefferson. Oh, now you never go with Jefferson, huh?
My friend, Jefferson is an American saint because he wrote the words, all men are created equal. Words he clearly didn't believe since he allowed his own children to live in slavery. He's a rich wine snob who's sick.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Yo,
yeah.
This is Wyclef Refugee Camp, Criswell, little baby sitting up here on the bass. While I'm on this road, I got my girl L. One time, one time, hey yo L, you know you got the lyrics.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, his young wife, stranger to my eyes, drumming my pain with his fingers.
One time,
singing my life with you.
I'm sorry. I was talking. I was muting myself. I'm saying we have the world famous psychic in the studio. You know her from her psychic things, Ghostbusters, visiting ghosts, taking ghosts out of your house, doing tarot card reading. She's a psychic of all psychics. But what's really happening with Pat right now, Halloween's coming. Everybody is selling out on her bakery, Pat's Bakery. Patty cakes are selling out.
Oh, come on.
You're
going
to love the ghost cakes, wish cakes. Patty cakes are out. They're off the hook. Yay.
You're going to give people the impression it's real.
It is real. I've been wanting a patty cake for a while. I mean, Pat, we've been promoting this for about a month and a half. Pat's Bakery, patty cakes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
She has this one cake called LSD cake. Oh, my God. It's for love special, and it's dark chocolate. LSD, she loves it. It's a sellout. I'm telling you, get patty cake. It's one trip that you don't want to make by yourself. Good morning, Ellen, and good morning, King. King.
Patty cake. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking Pat Oberlin. I'm saying that she should have a bakery, right? If you had a Pat bakery, her main thing would be patty cakes. You get it? Patty cakes.
You
best
are ridiculous, Brian.
Not. King would buy a patty cake. I would buy a patty cake. When you buy a patty cake, Ellen, I buy a patty cake.
I'm sure
each one. I'm sure all of us will buy a brownie. I'm sure we buy brownies. We forgot. We'll take another brownie. We'll never get out of the parking lot. Where do we park? You ate the brownie again. Dude, where's my car? Dude, you ate the brownie. Dude, where's my car? Where's my car? You're eating Patty's brownies. Oh, my God. The Wizard of Wizard Cakes. There's a wizard cake. There's a little wizard on there, and you bite into it, and it has a tarot card reading in it. It's like a fortune cookie. And it says, and it worked. You bite into the cake, and it has a receipt. You owe me $4.20. Everything is $4.20 in her shop. How much is this? $4.20. How much is this? $4.20. $4.20.
That's Ellen's
patty
shop.
Cake. I know. $4.20. Well, everybody say hello to King. King's here.
Hi, King. Hello, King.
Hey,
how
Ellen.
You doing?
How you doing? Hey, Miss Pat.
Yep, I'm telling you, it's like a diamond in the back, sun rooftop, digging the scene with patty cakes in the back. You know, patty cake in the sky with diamonds. I'm working on this, Pat. We'll get you a scene.
Come on, that'll be after surgery.
So that's our show today. We, as you can tell, we got the A crew in here. The only ones missed is Laverne. As far as the morning crew, we got the best of the best. King's in the studio, everybody. Ellen's in the studio. Ellen is part of the morning crew, but she's executive producer. And also Pat Oberlin. Thank you very much. I was going to read King because Pat's the teacher and I'm the student. And when the teacher's gone, I'm running around with scissors. what we're going to do is we have our top story. Historical figures we thought were our heroes, but they really sucked ass. And we have this going on. Have you guys ever experienced that? That you know some guy was an asshole, they were a bully, they were a tyrant, but all of a sudden they die and everybody had nothing but a nice thing to say about him? Oh, he was a good boy. Oh, I remember he saved that cat.
Oh, yeah, I noticed.
Before he burned a cat. Remember that?
You know
how we do that? Yeah.
If I knew somebody was an asshole while they lived, I would say, you know what? Why are you guys giving him praise when he's dead?
Well,
he can't do anything to you, so say how you really feel. He was an ass.
Well, You see, now you would be the one that we would look at the funeral, be saying, oh, here she goes. You know, they're going to say, well, you know, here's Willie. I can see it now. I mean, King would be there. You know, we're here to bury Willie. Willie, sometimes Willie could be silly. Willie was a nice man. You know, wherever he laid his hat was his
wig.
Yeah, you'll be the one standing up. Willie owed me some money. I'm going to collect. I'm going to sue all y'all in here. All y'all in here who's related to Willie, I'm get my money. We're not burying him.
All y'all bitches better have my money.
Exactly. In fact, I'm going to take Willie with me. Move that coffin in my back truck. Y'all ain't going to get Willie till he pays. But we do that. We do that. You'll get Willie when you're paid up.
And I don't.
But we do that.
I don't take no layaway plan either.
I know. You don't take no layaway plan. You're not getting complete Willie till he pays up. Show me $50.
Look, there are five of you. Each of you give me $10. Willie be paid up, then I'll free Willie.
Exactly, you free Willie. Very good. You're free. I'll free Willie.
Yeah, see what I did there?
I saw. Very good. But that's what it is. I don't know why we do it. So here we go. We'll do the news later. You guys always, now history, we'll go with, we don't know Winston Churchill. We went to some of this yesterday. We went to Abraham Lincoln last week. Like everybody's thinking about Abraham Lincoln, he freed the slaves and everything. Lincoln was an asshole.
His wife was crazy.
Yeah, his wife was crazy too. But Lincoln hated black people.
Well, then why did he
But Lincoln told more black jokes than anybody. Huh?
Did he really? I can't remember. Did he really hate black people?
Well, he. And if you look at Lincoln, there's some black in Lincoln. There is some black in him. If you look at Abraham Lincoln, there's some black in him. I guarantee you. You know what I mean? There's some black in him. You know how I could tell there's some black in him? Because he goes out with crazy white girls.
That's your thing.
My God.
I know. What is wrong with us? But he ignored white supremacy. He ignored a lot of things. He was actually a racist. And he usually described African-American with slurs. He even initially opposed the Emancipation Proclamation. He opposed that.
Proclamation.
That's all, folks.
Emancipation Proclamation.
That's what I said, Proclamation.
You got me all screwed up.
You're not getting Willie.
It's not like you've been eating Patty's cakes already. It's
I know,
proclamation,
Brian. Not proclamation. I didn't say proclamation. It's proclamation.
It's proclamation.
I know it's proclamation.
Oh, you said proclamation.
I know, you're ruining my bit. You keep Willie. Despite being one of the most beloved American leaders... Free Willie. He tend to ignore the white supremacy. Malcolm X was one of the first to shatter the rose-colored glasses in 64 that Lincoln did more to trick black people than any other man in history. There you go. John F. Kennedy was another one. John F. Kennedy was a great president. People thought he was great. I mean, John F. Kennedy. Can't get any better than that. But he was a terrible husband. He was notorious for his affairs. Kennedy just couldn't seem to keep it in his pants. Well, yeah. I mean, come on. If you had a chance to bang that, but that little tart, come on now. Who has a chance? Come on. With that dress lined up in the air every time she walks down the street.
Was an airhead whore. She was married.
Well, she was a Spartan.
Who was he married to?
Oh, she was married to the baseball player.
Yeah.
The hero. The hero. The baseball hero of the Yankees. Who ignored her
what
ass.
What the hell was his name?
I forgot. Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. She was married to Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio. I couldn't remember.
She was married to Arthur Miller, who was and Joe DiMaggio, and James Dockery. But she was married to some good guys. She was a smart woman, though. She was a very pretty woman. Her dress keeps flying up in the air. I don't know what's going on with that, but good woman. But just because it says he couldn't keep it in his pants, if we looked at good as John Kennedy, we probably would too. Just kidding. We still wouldn't. Kennedy's administration had to deal with countless challenges, one of the big being the infamous Cuban crisis. And could he be a good president, but just because he wasn't loyal to his wife, does that make him a bad person? Does it? I don't know.
Okay. As long as he can do the job, your personal life shouldn't be attached to your professional life.
Well, they said the same thing with Gandhi. He was the same way. He was a bad, very bad, bad man. Who was it, Ellen, that I had a fight with? Was it Gandhi that I have a fight with on Twitter? It was one of those guys. Who was
it? No, it wasn't Gandhi.
I said hello Dolly to him. That motherfucker. There I was minding my own business, and the Dalai Lama was picking fights. It's an antagonist.
Yeah, Brian, I kind of think you antagonized it. He said, how you doing, Dalai Lama?
Hello, Dolly. It was something he posted on Twitter long ago. I responded to it, and I said, no, this cannot. And then his underwear got into twit. The llama got into the twit. I don't know what happened to the, because there was no Dolly. It was more llama at that point. When he said three words to me, forgot what it is, and then I choose to fight him. Oh, yeah, you want to start some shit? Come on, Dolly. Come on. Come on, you're not in the big now, are you? You don't got nobody behind you, right? Come on. Come on, Dolly. And then I looked like an idiot picking a fight with the Dalai Lama. And I left quietly.
Yeah, after. And then you texted me and said, I just fought with the Dalai Lama. And I looked at you. I said, you what?
Yeah, exactly. He started it. Okay.
And I said, really? Yeah, you said, he started it. And I said, what are you, sick?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have my mother sign it for me and register me. So Gandhi was the one who ran around. He loved young girls. Gandhi loved having sex, and he was teaching peace and chastity. Meanwhile, he's getting pieces of a ass and chasing a girl named Chastity. And that was it again. His message get worse because he's not doing it? Or can we just go by the message itself that you should be a better person? When you do it over and over again, it's called a retune.
Routinely.
Right? Huh?
Routinely. No, routinely. Don't listen to her.
Oh, routinely. Okay. Is that
routinely. He routinely.
Oh, no, you listen to her. And,
Routinely. She's enabling
not
you.
Routinely.
Routinely.
It's not routinely. It's routinely.
Routinely.
Yes. That
so he routinely. So he routinely instructed married couples. Huh? Well, he told married couples. He told married couples who to stay away from sex. So he told them to take a cold bath, so to avoid the urges, while he carried on an affair with his physician, by his female doctor, and he was having sex with her. What's up, Doc? Well, you are Gandhi. So, another person. Now, some are good, some are bad, so let's play a game. Some are good, some are bad. Christopher Columbus, Ellen, kiss, good, bad guy. Christopher Columbus, good guy, bad guy.
Everybody knows that he was bad.
He was a bad guy. Columbus was the first person to discover North America and was deemed, he's considered a great traveler because of it. That being said, he's a huge jerk. The way he treated native peoples were appalling. He enslaved and mutilated them, going as far as saying that they should be good servants. That's right. Plus, his legacy is a lie. He definitely wasn't the first person to discover America. For one, Native Americans already been there. Can you imagine? You're a Native American. You're sitting there. You've been there for years. You got tents. You got land. You got kids. And then some white dude just get off the boat. I now proclaim this America. They go, what? What? You idiot. Didn't you see our factories? We got roads. We got a TV. And the guy, can you imagine a guy off the boat? I proclaim this is America and I discovered it. What's up with him? Oh, he had the patty cakes.
Shh. Patty cakes. Flying cars should go by.
Holy moly. You're not going to give up on that, are you?
I think it's a good idea.
Did you just see our flying car go by?
Yeah, exactly. We got a football team. We got a baseball team called the Indians. We got the Washington Redskins. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, we're way ahead of you, dude.
Exactly.
We got flying cars,
windmills and energy. I know. And you come over here and put a flag down in our dirt. I know we got internet. We're already on Tinder.
It's the latest version.
Exactly.
Apple.
Yeah, we got Apple. We will invite you for Thanksgiving. We celebrate that, dude. But the thing about it is, can you imagine? They've been there for years, and some dude going, I proclaim this America, and I have discovered it. What? You lying
ass.
You know, right now, we already have a problem. Yeah.
Because of all that, it's not called Columbus Day anymore. It's called Indigenous Persons Day.
It is. They took it back.
Yep.
They took it back. It says, Native Americans already occupied the land, obviously, and the Vikings landed in America centuries before Christopher Columbus. The Vikings were there. Yes, friend, we are Vikings, and I proclaim this America. Dude. You see the Indians? We can go to the football game. The Indians are playing. Oh, dude. But we're Vikings. We're here before the Indians.
And so are the Vikings.
we're the Vikings. The Vikings against the Redskins. Oh, that's a good game.
It shall be proclaimed Sunday afternoon football.
Exactly. This now will be proclaimed Monday night football. Another one. Charlie Chaplin. Remember, some are good guys, some are bad guys. Pat, Charlie Chaplin, good or bad?
He was good.
Charlie Chaplin.
Sorry, you know.
Well, here you go. You make up your mind. He was a comedian. He was also a master of marrying teenagers. He married three of his four wives were in their teen years, 13, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And the one that wasn't light says she was raises some eyebrows of his own, meaning that she was 10 when he married her.
Oh, my God.
Other than being generally creepy, Chaplin ruined his reputation with the accusation of communist sympathies, with his political learnings pushed some critics over the edge. We all should be more concerned about the predatory instincts. Sure, maybe he was a communist, and he was definitely a pedophile. Which is worse? We should all know the answer. So, Charlie Chaplin was a pedophile. How's that? Did you know that?
Well, no, I didn't know that.
Yep.
No.
See?
No.
You have
to
have.
You
got
to
pick
your
men.
And they're all doing that. So, you know.
Yep. You will. I'm giving you some. Okay. Let's go. Music. I don't know. King's still here. Music. John Lennon. Remember, some are good, some are bad. King, John Lennon, good guy, bad guy. If King's still here.
I don't
doesn't
know.
Seem to be. Oh, you are.
Good guy.
Good guy? Well, it depends on how you see it. You know, John Lennon is many people's favorite. He's a favorite Beatle most since he promoted peace later in life. While he's responsible for many musical hits, he also had some bad... you know, interpersonal issues. It was well known that he beat his wife. He used to beat his wife all the time.
What? Yoko Ono?
He used to beat his wife, Cynthia, all the time. He beat her.
Cynthia? Oh,
terrible.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was married before
I think
Yoko
it was his
Ono.
First wife. Yeah, that was his first wife. No, Yoko said, uh-uh. And that's how she got, no. You don't have to raise your hand to me, John. But Cynthia, he beat her. In fact, he didn't deny it. He didn't deny it at all. In fact, he bragged about beating his wife. He also had numerous affairs during both of his marriage, on top of being a nasty abuser. He was the most popular band member at one point, but his career took a sharp turn down south after his most infamous affair with a Japanese artist and a musician named Yoko Ono. Now, everyone has some qualms with him and aren't afraid to gossip about him online. There you go. There you go, King. He beat. Now, he's a good guy if you're a fan of wife beating. Charlie Chaplin's a great comedian if you're a pedophile.
Well, you don't these things right away, you know.
Well, it's like our mind, you know, these things make the news. And sometimes we don't keep the bad things in our head. They kind of, like Trump, after Trump said and done, and I say this, when they gave him 20 years from now, when they make his, a presidential thing, you're not going to remember this bullshit. You're going to come off like he was the greatest president in the
I will.
Yeah, well, you will, but. In school, they're going to say he was one of the 45th great president. Okay, I'm going to give you a twist. You ready? Okay, let's see who's brave enough. King, Mother Teresa, good or bad? Mother Teresa.
I kind of want to say she's bad because she made it seem like, you know, she was being healed. With all these natural surroundings or whatever you want to call it. But I want to say she was always in the hospital, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's like the minute she would get a scare, she would run to the hospital, you know. I don't really know how true it is, but, I mean, you know, I don't know if she was really messing with little kids or whatever, but. I don't know. It's hard to really. I'm going to say bad because, you know, some things that I read up. So.
Wow. Okay. King, you got some balls on you. That's why he has King Kong balls. Yes, he does. Now, does everybody agree with King? or anybody disagree with King, or you agree with King? Mother Teresa?
No, everybody's got a little bit of badness in them, too.
Do you?
I don't. Everybody's got a little bit of badness in them.
Well, King is correct, and Ellen is correct. And Pat's still on the borderline saying, you know, I could love her. I just don't want to kill my chances
of
heaven yet.
No, I just don't know enough.
Well,
I don't know enough.
Yeah. Well, here we go. You know, even saints can take. She's a saint, by the way. Mother Teresa has been canonized by the Catholic Church, and she's a saint. Her legacy, as others, especially the late Christopher Hitchens, but then again, who did he even like? Despite her humanitarian record, he and others take issue with the beloved mother of all. Yeah. See, critics like Hitchens, he was a critic. He had a problem with Mother Teresa and her belief in the spiritual value of suffering. See, including the suffering of those who aim to help. According to Hitchens, Mother Teresa led an organization that was cult, that promoted suffering and did not help those in need. So the good mother went around going, hello, children. Hi, Mother Teresa. Are you suffering? Not yet. And then she hit him over the head. Poof. My head hurts. Yeah, you're suffering now, aren't you, little bastard? She didn't really do that. I'm just reenacting what could happen.
You are so full of poop.
I'm promoting suffering, and I'm going to be around where there's suffering, but I'm not going to help. She promotes suffering.
Oh, my God.
That's what she likes to promote. She will point out, kid, see that kid over there? That kid who hasn't eaten in 3 weeks. Look at his scribble bones. And meanwhile, she's eating a hamburger in front of him. I don't know why nobody fed that boy. Looks like he's hungry.
Oh, my God. Brian.
She promoted. Yeah. Yeah. Am I such a bad person? But she promoted suffering. That's what she did. And she did a cult. Hindus don't really like her either. The Hindus says, they don't like her at all. The Hindus, they don't like Mother Teresa. So they didn't like it. I guess it's like the Jews with Jesus. Oh, that should be a t-shirt. Jews for Jesus. So the Hindus, don't really like her. And she took advantage of the poor people by converting them to Christianity. She took advantage of the poor people. She would give them some bread if they converted to a Christian.
Oh, that's bad.
And the suffering. Yeah, that's what Mother Teresa did. She was not a good person.
No.
She's more like Mother Dearest Teresa.
Yeah, Mommy
Mother
Dearest.
Yeah, Mommy Dearest Teresa. Oh, here goes Mommy Dearest Teresa. Suffer again, little bastard. All right, John Wayne. John Wayne, good guy, bad guy.
Why is it that I get the feeling that he was a bad guy?
He was a bad guy. If you like white supremacists, he believed in white supremacy. John Wayne was one of the most racist son of a bitches around. He was. But he believed in white supremacy until the blacks are educated. He said this, I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility. So basically he thought that black people were wild animals and we ran free like the llamas in the forest. And
llamas
don't live in the forest,
Brian. The llamas don't live in the forest. No, they don't.
Who runs free in the forest? The wolves. The llamas. Watch out for the llamas. No, the wolves. The wolves.
Because the lions roam in the forest.
The lions don't go in the forest. There's no forest where the lions are. Who lives in the forest?
It's called a jungle.
Oh, the bears.
It's called the jungle.
The bears.
The bears?
The bears live in the forest.
Yeah, right. And if it's grown too much, it's called the jungle.
Lions and tigers. But John Wayne believed that black people, that's what he said. He was far from a hero. In 1971, he was in an interview, and he stated, "I believe in white supremacy. Until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility, I don't believe in giving authority and position of leadership and judgment to irresponsible people." That's what
you
he said,
okay.
In an interview.
That could be for
he
both
probably
sides.
Probably is a Trump supporter.
You know, because I've seen some really irresponsible white people, too.
Well, not according to John Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
It says he has to be kidding, right? Yeah, no, he wasn't. And to further prove his racist point, he went after indigenous people, too. They were great numbers of people who needed new land, and the Indians were selfishly trying to keep them from themselves. John Wayne actually said that.
Selfishly?
Well, you know, he says they were a great number of white people who needed new land, but the Indians selfishly tried to keep it for themselves. That's what he said.
Jesus Christ, shoot them now.
That's what he said. That's what he said. Tonto, can I have a feature in there? No. You selfish redskin. Can I have that 40 acres? No. You selfish redskin. They selfishly kept it. So what did the white people do? They killed them all. Took the land. And then they put them on a little tiny, here's a little piece of your reservation. You could stay there. So you're not going to share? No, these would all end. Okay. The musket man. What? And shot his head off.
And then they have the saints come marching in and save them all.
That's right. That's right. And they took the land and they put the Indians on it. Can you imagine we still have that? Can you imagine we still have indigenous people in Alaska, in North Dakota, in New Mexico? We still have that, and we still have treaties? As of right now, we still have treaties. As of right now, we haven't ridden the wrong that we put them on reservation. In 1977, you can Google it. In 1977, there's still a law that we had to sterilize the Indian female so that she wouldn't breed children. In 1977, that's what they were doing and putting them on the reservation.
That's terrible.
I mean, in 2020, just think about it. I think they do it in Canada too, right? Right, Pat?
Hoo-ha about it. There's a big... Well, they found out they were killing the kids in the residential schools where they were trying genocide them. They were.
Yeah.
They were trying to take away all their beliefs and make them fucking Catholics.
Right.
Pardon my language, but you know what
they're
of religion.
Catholics.
So
they're fucking Catholics running around. In fact, I saw a couple of Catholics on Pornhub. To think about it, as of now, 2024, we're still having treaties and putting them on reservations and territories. Isn't that something? I mean, just
to make a
wake up call. It is, isn't it? We have a couple of indigenous people in the Senate and in the Congress. I forgot who they are. But, it's really hard to fathom that. Yeah. But that's what happened. That's what John – can you imagine a guy – John Wayne was not the most educated person in the world, but he actually says that they were so selfish that they didn't give – they didn't give land to the white people because they were selfish people. They were selfishly trying to keep it to themselves. That's what he said.
That's ridiculous. It was their land to start with.
Exactly.
I mean, we came here and caused all this problem.
It says here, he commented while discussing Midnight Cowboy. Unfortunately, these weren't isolated incidents, and his terrible racist attitude led to USC. USC had to remove his exhibit from their property. USC. 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 And so he went to USC, and they had to remove him, his racist. And so what we learned, USC had nothing but racist bastards in that university. And they had to remove him. And so, he went to USC, and they had to remove his exhibit from their property. That's what they did. That's what they did. He was not a good guy. All right, let's go with Pat, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs.
Oh, no. Not good.
Again, how do they determine? Cindy's running around with her USC stuff. She's a fan of USC. Racist. Some people, you know, Steve Jobs was not a good guy. He had a dark side of him. He was cruel to his employees. He was cruel to his daughter, and he was cruel in general. But I would say there's nothing about this tech genius that isn't dark. Who in their right mind would say that the invention of the iPhone has been a net positive for humanity? And it's the kind of person who inspired scammers like Elizabeth Holmes to drop out of college and basically steal money from investors to fund his pipe dream. So Steve Jobs encouraged a lot of scammers so he can raise money to do his iPhone. How's that? He stole money from his investors. And he stole land from the Indians.
I believe it.
You, Steve Jobs, I got a piece of land for an iPhone. You smoked a piece of pipe that I got. I got it at Pat's Smoke Shop. I smoked a piece of pipe. I see the flying donkey.
No, he got it at Pat's Vacant
Pat's
Cake.
Smoke Shop. Yeah, here's some cakes. At the peace pipe and cakes at Pat's Bakery. Yeah. I guarantee you to turn yourself a red face. Yeah, that's what he did. There's much to be said about how many of the business decisions were inspired by Jobs, and he was a scammer, so he stole money from investors to fund his dream. Eric Clapton, here we go. Anybody?
He beat his wife, didn't he?
He beat his wife. It's a theme here. But also, he's a racist. Okay, he's a racist. Little did you know that, right?
Well, I didn't know that.
He goes, no. Once in the 70s, Clapton, who was visibly drunk, began ranting at a concert about keeping Britain white. Keeping Britain white. Clapton has a history of spouting all of his controversial opinions in the world, including the most recent unhinged rant about 2020 pandemic. After taking the first COVID vaccine, Clapton stated, spreading the debunk opinion that secret messages were being hidden inside YouTube videos with the goal of driving mass compliance with COVID people. Oh, God. So I guess if you got a vaccine, there were secret messages inside that, whatever. I can't even read it. That's who he was. He was a racist and
a
crazy person.
He was also a cheater, too.
Oh, he cheated like crazy. But do you expect that? I mean, I'm more surprised if you get a musician who didn't cheat. Come on. Come on. I mean, all that is available to you, and you're a musician, and you didn't cheat, I would be more surprised about that. I really would. And it says here, Eric Clapton hated Indians.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you can find something about everybody.
But I know, and Pat, you were mentioning, I didn't mean to cut you off. So when year was that when they started doing that with the Indians in Canada, when you're saying that they were hurting people? Was that like years ago
or
was that recent?
Oh, they just found out about it a couple of years ago. And it's caused quite a stir that we're doing the 1800s.
Wow. That's so disgusting. 20
years of this crap.
Yeah. Damn. Even in Canada, they're abusing the Indians. They can't go nowhere.
Well, they stopped abusing them since this was found out, and they have an Indigenous Day, 31st of September.
Okay.
So
that's the day. That's the day that we can abuse them legally.
No, that's the day everybody has to say, "Wow, aren't they cool?"
I can't wait for the Indigenous Day. I'm gonna kick some red butt. Okay. Yay. That's that. Thomas Jefferson, he was our president. Good guy, bad. I'm going to say he was a bad guy. Thomas Jefferson, he wrote All Men Are Created Equal in the Declaration of Independence, which we all know is one of America's most beloved and documents separating freedom and equality. He wrote that. Too bad he didn't actually believe that. Because as a slave owner, he obviously did not think all men were equal. Not only did Jefferson own slaves in his entire life, but he also engaged a long-term affair with one of them. As a man who clearly held all the power in the relationship, there were one of them, it was one of the slaves that he liked. So many things went wrong. There were so many things wrong with him that we're getting upset just thinking about what really went down. Thomas Jefferson was an asshole. What did he say? He had 22 grandsons from black slaves and 18 wives, something like that. Yeah, he used to have
a
song that slaves, they used to have the slave quarters like they did in Louisiana. They were like dark and there were slave quarters. And just like Peter Pan, you know, when the crocodile got close and his eyebrows went up and down, you know, with Captain Hook, his eyebrows went up and down when the cracking out. And so at middle of the night, they heard a mysterious noise. Pat, you're psychic. And so the slaves used to be sleeping, and the slaves were sleeping. And then you hear this sound, and it scared them. In the jungle, the mighty jungle. They go,
oh. Oh, my God.
Massive. The lion sleeps tonight. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of songs, you know who died over the weekend?
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett died. The lead singer from Smash Mouth died.
Yeah,
he died too. Gary Wright died.
Who?
Dreamweaver. The guy that did that song, Dreamweaver.
He died?
Yeah,
he
Gary
died?
Wright died. Yes.
He died too?
Really?
Wow.
Holy
moly. Well, they were both, weren't they all in their 80s and 90s though? I mean,
you
Jimmy.
You know, the guy from Smash Mouth, Gary Wright and Jimmy Buffett, they were up there in age. But the guy from Smash Mouth, he went into hospice yesterday, and he died.
Oh, it was yesterday?
Yeah.
When did he die of?
He went into hospice the day before yesterday, and then yesterday he died.
Now, which one had cancer? Now, I think Jimmy Buffett was fighting cancer for
four years. Jimmy Buffett had cancer.
And what did Smash Mouth do? What did he die of?
I think he was dealing with cancer, too.
Are you kidding me? Let me see. Smash Mouth. What was his name?
I don't remember.
I just have to... Let me see something here. What did he... Former Smash Mouth lead singer, cause of death revealed he died of acute liver failure. So he didn't die of cancer.
Yeah.
His liver failed. Buffett died of, I think, skin cancer.
Skin cancer. Yeah, he died from skin cancer.
Which was a rare thing to do. That's sad. That is really sad. Does anybody remember the song Jimmy Buffett is famous for?
Yeah, Margaritaville.
I do, but I don't remember the name.
Margaritaville.
Really? Here you go, right here. Here you go.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tubes covered with oil. Drumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell of shrimp ever again in the bar. Wasted away again in Margarita. Searching for my lost shaker song. Some people claim that there's a one place.
Yeah. You guys remember that song? All right. $10. All right, let's play a game. $10. Let's see how well you know this song. Then we go. I'll stop it, and then you have to tell me what's next. Ready? Here we go. I think I can get it. Hold on. I'll stop it, and I'll tell somebody. You can't say anything. And I'll just name her name. Tell me the next line. Here we go.
Watching the sun bake. All of the tubes covered with oil. Drumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp ever again at the bar.
Ellen, what's the next line?
What, wasted away again in Margaritaville?
You're right. Yeah, good job. Good job. All right, Pat, okay. Coming to you. Here we go.
Wasted away.
Some people claim that there's
a
one more time. Keep going. Keep going. But I. But
I know.
No,
it was nobody's fault.
We got there. We had to take the long car road, but we got there. Good job. All right. All right, everybody, get in the car. Here we go. Very good, Pat. All right, hold on.
Nothing to show but this brand new.
Okay. King, nothing to show but this brand new.
You've got me.
Brand new. Oh, no.
Damn.
Ellen, brand new. Don't
nothing
know the reason.
Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo.
Wow. Good job.
But it's a real beauty. I'm extra confused. How I got here, I haven't a clue. Wasted away again in Margarita. Searching for my lost sugar sauce.
Pat, next one.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. My brain is missing right now.
Some people claim
that there's a woman to blame. But I know.
Now I say.
It's my own damn fault.
Yeah, very good. It could be my fault.
Yep, you know, right too, Brian. He died too over the weekend.
Who? Who?
Gary Wright.
Who's Gary White?
Wright. W-R-I-G-H-T. That song Dreamweaver.
Who's Gary Wright? Okay, let me see what he died. I didn't know that. What did he die of? Gary?
I think Gary Wright. I don't remember what he died of.
He's alive. When did he die? Gary White, Dreamweaver, and Love alive. Singer died. No, he dies at 80. He did die of 80. Wow.
Yeah, he died of at 80 years old.
What did he die of? It says here he was trying to take the Indians' land, and they shot him with an arrow. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, my God.
Me, Spot White Man, trying to take her. He was known for his album Dreamweaver. He died. He was 80. He died here in California, I think. Palos Verdes Estate. His son Justin. He had Parkinson's disease and he had dementia for past 6 years.
Yeah.
There he is.
No way.
Parkinson and dementia. Nice to meet you. Don't mention it.
Play Dreamweaver.
You want me to play it? I don't remember that song.
Yep.
Does anybody remember that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
Really? Really? Let me see. I don't remember that song. I'll play it. Here we go. No, that's Aerosmith. Dreamweaver. I don't know. Aerosmith is Dream. Dream. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Weaver. Is it two words?
Yeah, Dreamweaver is two words.
I think it's one word.
Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Let's see. You guys remember this song, right? All right. Dreamweaver. Okay, here we go. Well, that's not it. That's not it. I'm going in here. Dreamweaver. Let's see what we get. Here we go. Here we go. See if we get it. Oh, it sounds like spiritual shit. It's like ghosts coming out. Does that sound like The Haunting? Wow, doesn't it?
Dreamweaver.
That's some spooky shit. Hold me, King. That's scary. There you go. Through the what?
Get me through the night.
Very good.
Yes.
Yes. Pat's already saying, Pat, that spiritual music, Pat's already taking off her clothes and she's dancing down a pole. I love this music. Mary. Pole dancing music.
That's vaping music.
Oh, Jesus. I'm out of here, you heathens. I'm going to ask God to pray for you. All right. Sleeping music. Jesus. It's not like consensual shit. It's like, I don't care. I hear the music. I'm going to rape your ass. You got 10 seconds to get an erection or you die.
Oh, my God. You know, I remember what Pat said, you know, Ellen, it's like, let's say you and I were driving, a car broke down in the woods, and we see this cabin, and we go up there, and this woman is making some cakes, and go, what's that? That smells like some dessert. Oh, let's knock on the door because the car broke down. And then there's Pat going, oh, why don't you come on in? But you don't know who we are. It doesn't matter. Come on in. I go, okay. And then all of a sudden she goes, just a second, I'm yeah,
making my cakes.
Okay.
Yeah,
you would go,
okay.
And you would trust me, would you?
Yeah, we would. Just a minute. You know, this is cauldron and stuff. Going, I really don't have a soup bowl, so I'm using my cauldron to stir the soup. Oh, okay, that's okay, cool. Because we really just need to use your phone. And you go, well, the phone is not working because we got no service. Would you guys like to spend the night? Oh, okay, cool. So we're there. And then she shows you, she goes, okay, Ellen, this is your room. And it's a nice room full of skulls and everything. And Ellen goes, cool, rock on. You know, it's all golfed out and everything. Don't, you know, just turn off the vampire's eyes so you can go to sleep. Ellen goes, I got the cool room. So cool, he's in the vampire room. And she goes
cool
to my
room.
yeah, my room is like a loaf of bread for the bed. You know, like, I go, like, one piece of top bread is like the sheets and the other loafs. I'm going, what do? I just sleep on the slices of bread. I go, okay, that's cool. It's kind of strange, but cool. That's it. Then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, we're hearing this Dreamweaver music. She goes, oh, that's rape music. And she comes, I'm hearing her tiptoe down to my bedroom.
Hey, Brian, are you determined not to give me a green light or what?
I don't know. I am determined.
I mean,
to say,
I knew
to
be like 6 minutes ago. Yeah, give me a green light to come on.
You got a green light. You got a green light.
I keep track of time. 6 minutes now. You unmuted me. You ain't said you could speak now. What is this?
I unmuted you.
I don't bleep what you're saying.
Don't
say nothing.
Wait. No, I unmuted you, meaning that you have open mic either. I thought you were Mr. Solution. I actually thought you were Mr. Solution.
So I'm
Solution
just jump in there like the rude guy I am, and you constantly remind me of me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarge,
so then you could blame me.
Sarge?
Then you could blame me of being a rude guy.
You're never rude. Sarge, you have Pat, and you have Ellen here, and you have King here, and you have four other 111s that are here.
Uh-huh.
How you doing, Sarge? You got the floor.
Look here, Brian. Now, look, I notice you're engaging in a bit of smug historical revisionism, and you know I'm about to
right.
cut you pieces for doing that shit. Now, you know that, don't you?
No, these are facts. In fact,
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss was not a great guy.
Okay. See, this is what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. I'm sure they are essentially facts. Given that, however, you present them as an unalloyed evil with no context whatsoever, see, this is what I mean by smugness. Now, we're living in a time where we are literally, and I mean literally, and a whole lot of people are applauding the fact that it's going on. We're enabling slavery on the southern border of the United States, and the millions of people, including sexual trafficking of children, including 1,000 dead illegal aliens a year on the southern border, dying trying to get into this country of exposure, murder, rape to death, you name it. We're enabling that right now through policy, enabling it. And a lot of people are turning a blind eye to it. How do you think historians might judge people in this time? We're living in a time where people today are cutting the dicks off, or perfectly healthy dicks off of young boys who are mentally confused, mentally disturbed, and chopping breasts off of young women. Okay, I'm just saying, how do you think the people who regain a moral sense and balance might judge this time in the future?
I can go on and on with this sort of thing.
You know what I mean?
That's what I mean by being smug. But let me address this issue. Not being smug. Some people think circumcision is part of a very medieval practice, and if you're not, so when we're talking, and in some tribes in Africa, do that as a cultural thing. So when you're saying cut off dicks, when you're cutting off
the
foreskin
whole thing,
or whatever,
not just the foreskin,
the whole dick.
Off. Yeah, the whole thing.
Now, I don't know. I know where you're going with this.
You should.
You're talking about transgender. You're going in the transgender area, not transgender.
I'm going to a lot of things. That's just one of the words.
Transgender. I made a mistake saying a transgender. Transgender. Well, you know what? If they want to cut their dicks off, I believe that they should have the right to cut their dicks off, though. Why is it?
When they get to be adults.
Yes. Well, I'm with you there. I mean, they shouldn't be able to.
All right.
We're
talking about people now who literally want to cut parents out of the equation in many jurisdictions in this country.
But you're asking when you're a baby, you're getting circumcised. It's almost the same thing as mutilating your body.
Let me explain something to you now. I just may be TMI, but I was circumcised.
Yeah.
I have not been affected negatively by it in the least. All right? Not in the least. In fact, I am glad I was circumcised. That was a medical decision made that did not impair my functioning nor my pleasure, right. I do not believe, in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Right.
So you can talk about something and try to make it the equivalent. Wait a minute now. You can try to make it the equivalent of a lop a dick off of me, and it ain't the same thing, and you and I both know it. It's not even close to being equivalent.
Well,
considered a medical practice in order to make hygiene more easier for the young man, and I kind of didn't agree. If I had been able to consent, if I had the wherewithal to consent, I would agree with the decision of my parents to give me a circumcision. But to transform me enough to use the remnants of my penis to fashion a vagina, cut a slit into my pelvis and fashion a vagina, it ain't the same thing, and you and I both know it.
Well, it sounds so lovely. What I'm saying is I happen to have foreskin. Foreskin, and 7 years ago, my penis set forth on a new mission. I'm kidding.
Oh,
but
God.
I happen to have. People like foreskin. I am not circumcised. I got a lot of meat hanging at the end of my junk. I have to peel it back and say, surprise, it's like Cracker Jacks.
Well, nature put it there. I don't see any problem with keeping it there.
I don't see any problem either way.
It's a decision parents make.
But I agree with you there. But if you're going to be honest and compare with mutilation, some people think circumcision is mutilation, and they're having it at babies. And then we're going to take it a little further that these people are getting steroids and counseling, and I don't know how many people are actually chopping off their dicks. I think they fall short of it and still say, I'm a transition.
Okay.
Now they just have to say
Let's leave the sexual organ issue for just a moment.
Let me just finish this. But you're right, because when they do take the steroids, which is supposed to kill the testosterone in the boys, and they kill all the chemicals that make you a boy, and grow, I agree with you. It's mutilation. But if they after 18, they could do what they want, don't you think?
You heard me specifically say that if a mentally ill person wants to destroy perfectly normal, healthy sexual organs because they are deluded into the belief that they are someone of the sex they were not, that's like those people who twist their tongues look like lizards. That's their business.
Right.
I'm talking about children, okay? Children should not be subject to life-altering decisions.
Yeah. Do you think mentally ill people, if you know two – wait, let me ask you a question. If you know two mentally ill people and you know they're crazy people, they're mentally ill, do you think they have the right to bear children, or should the government sterilize their asses so we don't have crazy people running around?
Again, people can be entirely functional with mental illness. It is not positive of living a normal life. We have people
who have varying degrees
of – paranoia, varying degrees of depression, varying degrees of all sorts of mental. But here's the difference between that and this. We don't hesitate to call it an illness for which you should be treated and cured of. Transgenderism is a protected class that deserves to be enhanced and extolled. That's the distinction. We don't even want to call it a mental illness in many places. Unlike the other mental illnesses that we regularly say need treatment.
I hate to agree with you with the way you put it that way, because how I really feel that it is a mental illness issue. I really do feel that way. But then the other half of me saying that this is America and you're allowed to be mentally ill.
I'm not
shooting
at
Brian.
How many times I got to say it? Don't make a straw man argument. Let me look at the squirrel running over there. I've already made it explicitly clear. An adult has the right to make these sorts of decisions. That's a straw man argument. I'm talking about what we're doing to children and what we're cutting parents out of the equation of deciding what is best for their children, to whom they have been awarded not only morally, legal, and ethical guardianship and care and decisions for their children. But again, I'd like to leave aside the issue of sexual organs for a minute. What about this issue of slavery on the southern border? What about the issue of slavery on the southern border going on right now? Not 175 years ago, right now.
You're talking about
we're enabling it. Sex trafficking, yes. Exploited labor. Have you seen that movie, The Sound of Freedom? Believe me, everything in it is essentially true.
I'm all for immigrants working. I mean, I get my oranges for like five for a dollar. If they
you
are,
see, you
want to
exploit,
the union,
you
want to
exploit their labor, but you're mad at Confederates, Democrats, for doing it 170 years ago.
Come on, we've been exploiting immigrants for years. The Irish, the French, I mean the Irish, the Chinese, the blacks. We've been exploiting all these people for years.
We are talking, Brian, about revisionist history. And we're talking about the smug attitudes of people living in one era as they look back on the sins of people living in another while ignoring their own.
You know,
I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right? Are you getting my point? Apparently you're missing it.
But I also understand the other side of civil rights.
I'm not forgiving them their sins. Wait a minute, Brian.
Yes.
I'm not forgiving them their sins. Brian, if you are accurately reporting what they did wrong, that is a proper exercise of history. If you're telling the truth, you're not distorting it, fine. It adds to our knowledge. What I object to is this smugness as we look back on it. Oh, those people that believe they shouldn't take a bath more than once a week because it might lead to pneumonia or something. Well, they had reason to believe it, even though they were wrong. You know, we can laugh at them now. Oh, they're so silly. And here we are, went around wearing masks like a bunch of zombies. That don't work. Being told we got to get 55 shots that might lead to blood clots and heart attacks. But those people back then were just so silly and so stupid. This is what I object to. Not the accuracy of the retelling.
You object to... I have no idea what you object to.
Wait, you just heard what I just said.
Wait a minute, hold on. You're talking
about
people.
And I gave a concrete example of it.
Historical history and fact that they were not the best people in the world. We happen to, when people are gone, we happen to remember them as holier than thou or better people than they were. And sometimes laying the facts down of who these people were gives us a balance. And as far as what you're saying about transgender, right now there's no law against any person doing a transition. There's no law against that.
Okay, again,
and when you
again,
say
again,
gay, I don't know what you're – wait, what are you talking about?
Okay, Brian, again, let me give you another example. Let me give you another example. Learned doctors of the time of George Washington. Doctors. People who were the best medical professionals in their field would advocate bleeding. They bled George Washington when he was on his deathbed. And many others. They thought bleeding was the way to cure you of many diseases. But by the way, when you had high blood pressure, it would lower the blood pressure, and you would see results. Now, they might not have been able to put together all the reasons why it was working that way, but they thought it was a general cure-all for many ailments because it seemed to work in a little bit, in a slight manner, for the ailment of high blood pressure, you know, dizziness and all that, and you get bled, and your blood pressure would lower, and voila. But then you were anemic because they didn't bled your ass. See? But the point of the matter is that's what they – wait a minute, this is my point. That was a medical procedure at the time, and that's what they believe. Look, flash forward 2023. We're about ready to enter a new era of COVID fright. Now, we already know that masks do not prevent transmission or getting the disease because trying to stop the COVID virus with a mask is like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. It does not work. We also know, according to the CDC and the adverse incident reporting chart of stats, that there is a connection and a correlation between the clot shot and blood heart attacks and cardiovascular incidents in young people. Young people. We're seeing them dropping dead all over the place. Yet we've got the medical professors that say you must get vaccinations endlessly ad nauseum. I saw Harold Ford on the 5. He's on the Spock show called the 5. He's bragging about his 15th shot. I'm amazed he's still alive. This is the medical practice of today, as opposed to the superstitious stuff people used to believe 300, 400 years ago. We laugh at them, say, how silly were those people. They were so silly, such rude, superstitious, religious nuts. And look at us today. We're so much better. We're so much more enlightened with all this medicine and this technology. Look, I'm not objecting to you telling the truth, Brian. I'm objecting to the smugness.
You're objecting to the what? To the subject?
Smugness. You know what smug means? S-M-U-G.
I am not smug. I don't come off as smug. I don't come off as holier than thou. I come off as special.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right. That sounds right to me, Brian. Yeah, that sounds right to me. Look, man. Look. I think all history should be viewed in context. There was a context
right.
to the 19th, 17th, 18th centuries. People accepted the idea of slavery universally throughout mankind,
right.
everywhere in every corner of the globe. It was accepted
right.
as a normal practice of civilized and even semi-civilized and uncivilized people. Everybody did it. Everybody did it.
Yes.
The only countries,
legal.
The only civilizations that sought an organized political and philosophical into it were Western nations. That's where it started. Britain, France, and the
yes.
United States.
I understand.
Now, we ought to say something about things like that because they were the ones who began an organized political, philosophical, and social movement to end the practice. Nobody else did.
Well,
smugness. I'm talking about smugness.
What do you consider smug? Uppity, smugness, or mocking? I don't know what you consider smugness.
Yeah, you know, we're so much more enlightened today than we're so proudful of our enlightenment today compared to those rules of
I'm
the
not
18th and 19th century.
Sleep in the shadows. I don't know.
Do you think any philosopher today knows anything substantially more than Aristotle did, or Plato, or Herodotus.
Well, we also had any
philosopher
of that,
John Hume, John Hume, Edward Burke, John Locke. You think any philosopher today have anything? Bastiat on the law? Any of those old philosophers from 300 years ago that the people today know more about the basic human nature than they did? I don't think so.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
What does Shakespeare miss about human nature?
Okay, I get what you're saying. Well, Shakespeare was a nutcase.
Y'all too.
Shakespeare did a lot of drugs, too. He really did.
Okay. Jesus.
And Shakespeare had a lot of incest.
Okay, what is your source for his drug usage?
Don't you tell me about, what's his name and his mother? Come on. Was it Macbeth? Was Macbeth?
Macbeth.
So he
writes about most Shakespearean plays were based on actual historical characters. So he writes a play about something, and that means he himself was indulging in it rather than what he knew of it from
the course of time. I don't know if he was indulging in it or not, but his mind went there. I mean, he's the greatest writer of all time. I agree. But
yeah,
there's
and the
some trouble going on with Shakespeare.
Greatest observer of human nature of all time. Because it hasn't changed.
Well, you know, you mentioned a pandemic. You're not going to believe this. No, just if you give me 1 minute, you're not going to believe this. So we're talking about masks in California coming back. We're talking, I don't know if you guys saw the stories where you guys are, but here in California, we got a news report that the pandemic and this new strain is putting people in hospitals. We got that here. I don't know if you guys got that. Well,
What's going on in Europe?
Is it going on? Well, Stephen King came out with a new book based on a pandemic. It's called Holly. It just came out. And only Stephen King could do this. He finds terror in ordinary in a new pandemic set novel called Holly. That's his book.
Oh, wow. I love Stephen King.
So only he could. That's his latest novel called Holly. But that part of it what makes it them is a terrifying book. So I recommend it, Holly from Stephen King. That's his latest one on the pandemic. It's based on the COVID-19. Only Stephen King can do that.
Brian.
Come on. It's unfair for you to cock me like that, Sarge. You know.
I'm not attacking you, Brian. Really, I'm really not attacking you at all. I'm talking about, you're not the only one to do this. I'm talking about this general wave of revisionist history with this condescending, smug attitude toward figures from the past. That's what I'm condemning, not you.
Well, the thing.
By the way, let me add a specific on one individual who's well known, who is definitely the subject of historical revisionism, and even was condemned in his own time, quite rightly, for many of the attitudes he held. Now, again, let me say that again. Even in his own time, he was condemned for the attitudes that he had. And I'm not talking about Winston Churchill. Same thing with him. Not talking about a figure well known in American history called Nathan Bedford Forrest. He founded the Ku Klux Klan. Okay? He was probably, arguably, the greatest self-made general in the history of the United States. Even though he wasn't a Union general, he was still arguably the most courageous, the most daring, the most brilliantly self-taught tactician ever, and he went from a private all the way to a general, a cavalryman of the first rank. Let's forget that. Let's forget his an amazing, unbounded gallantry and courage in battle. Let's look at what he did as a member of the Klan, a Democrat, by the way, who founded the Ku Klux Klan. Okay? Now, he did that, but he didn't he didn't realize how violent it would become. How oppressive it would become. Right. Remember, he was elected his first Grand Wizard. But he was so appalled by what he saw the Klan become. During his lifetime, when the South and racism was in the ascendancy throughout the Confederacy, when I talk about like Strom Thurmond, when the general attitude against segregation and racism, he softened his tone. At the height of it, he told his fellows that there needed to be racial reconciliation. He went to a black church. He kissed a black woman, kissed her hand, and expressed his regret for many of the things that were happening to black people. Now, we can say the bad things about him, and we should. We should also say the good things about him as he attempted to obtain racial reconciliation between the races, because that's all part of his legacy, all of it, the good and the bad. And the problem with much of this revisionism is it almost totally neglects the good. Say it's not relevant. We need to emphasize the bad to the exclusion of everything else.
Okay.
That's not accurate history either.
Holy moly.
Well, we got to understand something about history. History, I don't know what you can say.
It's rewrote.
Whoever wrote the history, you're right. You're writing history. We're looking at history through the author or the eyes of a
context
person.
Context is all, Brian. Context is everything.
And
I hate history without context. You know what? How much I love history. I love history.
Yeah,
it's my favorite single subject. I do not like history devoid of context.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say? You know, if John Newton, if you like history, you know about John Newton then. John Newton, he wrote the most famous song that lasted 344 years, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
John,
he was a slaver.
He was a slave trader at one time.
Right.
He was also a slave, then he turned into a minister. But the word Amazing Grace.
And an abolitionist. He's one of the most important abolitionists.
That's true. And I guess, now here's where you can help me out, Sarge. Just help me out here. So apparently he was on a ship, and this ship was being bombarded. And he swam to land, and he looked, and there was a bridge, and he was just happy that he was alive. Sarge, give me close to it. And that's when he wrote Amazing Grace, that how would you save a wretch like me? And he was just...
His ship wasn't bombarded. It was caught in a storm off the coast of Ireland.
Okay.
And he was able to swim to safety. Yeah, and, you know, he was able to swim to safety. He was, the ship was about to sink, rather. He didn't swim to safety. The ship was about to sink. And he began to pray to God for mercy from God in order to help them get through the storm. And through a miracle, the ship didn't founder, didn't sink, and made it get to shore. And that marked his, the beginning of his conversion to Christianity. He started to read the Bible. He became an evangelical Christian. Even though he kept on working in the slave trade, he began to feel a kinship and with the slaves that he had transported across the Atlantic from Africa. And his conversion to Christianity made him realize the sins he'd committed as a slave trader. And after that, there was no looking back for him.
There you go. So when you hear the song Amazing Grace, which we all don't really want to hear, because if we do hear the song, somebody passed, but it's about a man who realizes that the Lord saved him and had pity on a wretch like him, and he changed his ways to Christianity, and he saw the light.
And you know, he had a great deal of influence on probably the most important abolitionist in the history of the British Empire, William Wilberforce.
Yes.
You ever see that movie Amazing Grace with Albert Finney?
Yes, I did.
Okay, there you go. Well, that was true. That is the efforts at preaching and evangelism and influenced very much William Wilberforce, who was probably the single most important figure in abolishing slavery in Great Britain.
You know who had the beautiful sound of Amazing? Did you ever hear Susan Boyle sing Amazing Grace? Susan Boyle.
Oh, yeah. She's beautiful. Beautiful. I've heard, yeah.
Here's a little bit. Oh, yeah. She went crazy later. Here's a little bit of Susan Boyle. Just a little bit of her singing Amazing Grace. It's just magnificent. Listen to this for a minute.
Yeah.
That just haunting. Some people have that voice that's just haunting. Pat and Ellen, and sorry, everybody, isn't that haunting, or is it just me?
Agreed. Beautiful rendition.
It really is. You could turn off the get in your room and make it black and put in a candle and listen to that. It's haunting. You'd think a spirit came in there and just gave you a big hug.
By the way, Brian, I'd like to give you another example of what we're talking about with historical revisionism and lacking context.
Right.
Now, you know Justice Roger Taney. He was the author of one of the worst decisions in the history of the United States Supreme Court, Dred Scott decision, which inevitably led directly or helped to lead directly to the war between the states. That decision by Justice Taney was one of the primary, well, he authored the opinion, and he engineered it. It was one of the things that actually led to the death of almost 700,000 Americans. Again, lacking context, again, is always a problem. Because first of all, you got to understand about him. He remained loyal to the United States. He did not join the Confederacy. He served 30 years as one of the most important jurists in the history of the United States. He freed the slaves he inherited from his father. He supported those who were too aged to work. During the Civil War, he defended civil liberties, including the doctrine of habeas corpus, which Lincoln violated by locking up people who objected to Union occupation of Maryland and Delaware. He defended the concept of habeas corpus against what Lincoln did. Because, you know, presidents in wartime, they're prone to go overboard, and Lincoln did it. I think we can revise history with Lincoln, too. But again, I like to do it in context after all. He thought he was fighting an existential war to save the Union. So it's understandable, even if it's not right. Okay, not only that, before he joined the court, he was Secretary of War, yeah. Secretary of the Treasury, and Attorney General. But because of that one opinion, he's a historical persona non grata. But if you look at the context of the man, he's more than just the Dred Scott decision. Even though that was probably the most significant thing he ever did.
We only have a
Benedict Arnold. Remember Benedict Arnold? Benedict Arnold, the greatest combat hero of the Revolutionary War. Without Benedict Arnold, the Revolution would never have won the Battle of Saratoga, and France would never have come into the war on the side of the American Revolution. He was at the Battle of the Siege of Canada and Quebec. He was wounded severely.
Right.
He was wounded again at the Battle of Saratoga. I mean, this guy suffered greatly for his country and contributed mightily to the American victory of the Revolution. He was also the greatest traitor in the history of the United States, because what he did could have lost the Revolution for the Americans if what he did had succeeded, because he was going to enable the British to split the American colonies in two.
Okay. I don't have that much time, but I want you to do – I'm going to play a game. You're going to be the judge, Sarge. These are people who are considered good and bad, and there's going to be an argument for both. And I'm going to put you and you at your level to determine good or bad person. Here we go right now. I got to do it really quickly. Everybody, welcome to the show. We got a lot of people in the studio. Here we go. If you want to talk, hit the number one on your dial, and I'll get to you. Here we go. Elvis Presley, okay? Sarge, you're going to be the judge, so you can't – not yet. I'll tell you what he did, and then you'll be the judge. I mean, sometimes the good outweighs the bad. We're flawed people. We have some flaws. But the inventions and stuff that moved us forward, can't we just say, it's like, Thomas Edison. Well, he's a great guy in the telegraph and this and that, and he contributed. Yeah, but he cheated on his wife. So that makes him a bad person? You get what I'm saying. All right, here. So we outweigh the good and the bad. Sarge, you will be the judge about waiting good and bad. Here we go. Elvis Presley. Let me go to let's go to Pat. Pat, Elvis Presley, good or bad person? Now, some of these are good people, not all bad. Huh?
Medium.
Well, you're such a politician. Well, I'm running for office. I'm just gonna, you can't give me a politician answer. Well, on the other hand, there's he fed the poor. But the train must run through.
Wasn't
his
wife pretty young?
Whoa, you hit it on the nail. The hammer on the nail. You sure did. But was he a good person, bad person? She said his wife
was
pretty young. Here it goes.
14 or 15?
He met Priscilla when she was 14 years old, and he was 24.
Right.
They spent all their time together. After they met, were basically inseparable the whole time. And it was, if that's not in the very least suspicious, we don't know what is. So next time Grandma cranks up the hound dog on the radio, stop and think about who we're allowing to be successful despite their sins. Elvis Presley took Priscilla when she was 15, asked her people, her mother and father, to take her to the United States. He claims he did not touch her until she was 18. So she was 18. That's what he claims. So are we saying that Elvis Presley is a pedophile or no?
Well,
what are we saying?
At least he takes them older than the Prophet Muhammad did.
Oh, Sarge, elaborate on that.
Latifah was 9 years old when Muhammad occurred.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We got to remember back then, but we got to, before we make any judgment, back then it was not unusual for a girl to be married at 13 or 12.
Even back then, 9 was. I mean, they at least wanted the child to be, unless it was a prearranged marriage, and they would wait to consummate the child and at least start having a menstrual flow.
Right.
He wanted a nine-year-old.
Yeah, but aren't there dowries that you promise when the kid's like, 8 or 9 that she would be married to so-and-so?
But again, that was a common practice, like you said. It was a universally accepted common practice.
Yeah.
And 15 is not too far outside the bounds of what even at the time many states allowed as the minimum age to be married.
That's
particularly
true.
In the South, 15 was the legal age to be married with parental consent or other means. So it was not like it was, you know, outside, completely outside the bounds of possibility or consideration.
Yeah.
But look, you want me to know what I think about Elvis Presley? Look, the man is not known for his pedophilia. He is known for his contributions to pop culture. In that respect, he's got to be considered one of the greatest of all times. There's no getting around it.
Right. Right. So what are you saying? The good out... let's say he had so much good in this world. He had so much talent. So what if he had a 14-year-old in his bed, right? I mean, come on.
Well, we don't know for sure that he did, but it's safe to say he might have, certainly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he did. You know he did. He was a hound dog.
I mean, look, he could have looked upon, you know, some people are like this. He could have looked at Priscilla as an ideal, his untouchable Madonna, and then he goes on to fool around with other women to satisfy his needs. And he waits until, he did wait until Priscilla was 18. How do we know for sure?
He was a hound dog.
We know he messed around with a lot of women, so why would that be so inconceivable?
He was raising a wife as he grew her. He grew her, you know. But what kind of parents in Germany? He paid those people in Germany, by the way, her parents.
I know.
So what kind of parents let him take their daughter to the United States of America? Think of that.
They were blinded by the money and the lure of
sex. Yes, right. They whored her out.
And he was arguably given relative to other pop figures of the time. Elvis Presley was arguably the biggest pop celebrity who's ever lived.
That's true. That is true. Well, they were thinking she could have a better life. Let's just be honest. If you were a parent, I would argue with you. Pat's a parent, and Pat goes, well, you want to date my daughter? Yeah. Well, she's only 13. Okay. Well, you are.
It wouldn't
you
happen.
You are Eric Clapton. Yeah, you are Eric Clapton.
Well,
right.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't have done it. I think it was despicable for the parents to do that. But, you know, they, you know.
I mean, I'm sure
not everybody
gave her kid away.
Not everybody's a good parent.
Right. But I'm sure Pat would give her kid away if it was Bob Marley.
No.
No. Oh, God.
Well, I think we can make this safely make the assessment that in the aggregate, Elvis Presley was a great historical figure. In the aggregate.
Yes, he was.
He was a patriot.
And
he served his country without complaint as a draftee.
He did serve
in the United States Army in Germany on the front lines at the time. Front lines at that time were the boundaries of Western Europe, because I was there later when we were expecting the Warsaw Pact to invade us through the Fulda Gap, and we were training all the time. He was in the 3rd Armored Division. They were constantly in the field training, constantly, because that's what they expected to happen. And Elvis Presley, by all accounts, was a very good soldier.
He was. That's what he was singing to little 14-year-old Priscilla.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Let me go. Oh, you want some bottle of milk? Okay, Priscilla, let me rock you to sleep.
Well, look, you know, look, I'm going to say Elvis Presley was okay with me historically. And
he's okay
I
with you?
Recognize,
okay.
I recognize and readily acknowledge his flaws. I'm not going to deny it.
I'm going to give you one that you can't go with it. Neil Diamond.
You know, I don't know that much about him to make an assessment.
All right, let me give
you
the background. And then he tried to change his shit. Neil Diamond, he did an interview. He came up with Sweet Caroline. Now, when he came out, he said he was watching TV one day, and he saw Caroline. This is when John F. Kennedy's funeral was watching down the street. And that's when he had John F. Kennedy, the little kid, salute to his father.
Yeah.
You know,
John F. Kennedy Jr.
Junior. But Caroline was there, and she was there in her little clothes and everything, and she was waving the flag. Now, Neil Diamond saw that on TV, and he wrote the song Sweet Caroline when he saw that little girl.
Isn't that
when he saw that. No, it's true. I'm not making it up.
I'm not making
no,
it up.
No, he said that. I remember that. He did say that. I remember that interview. I did see that.
Yes, he did.
And he did say
now,
that. He did say
that. Now, let's judge him the lyrics of Sweet Caroline before we hold any judgment and see what he was thinking about this poor little girl. So sweet, saying goodbye to her father at a funeral. Here we go. These are
but
the
did
lyrics.
Did he sniff her hair? Did
this
he sniff
he
her hair?
What really thinking? Well, this is what he wrote when he saw the girl. He wrote this.
Where it began.
Where it began.
I can't begin to know it. But then I know it's growing strong.
Now, what is growing strong? Let's examine it.
And spring became a summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands.
Touching hands.
Touching hands.
Reaching out.
Reaching out.
Touching me.
Touching me.
Bump, bump, bump. Now,
and how old was this Caroline?
Caroline was four. Was she like four or five
four,
at the time, you
about
think?
4 years old.
Was she about,
yeah.
She was about 4 years old,
about
and
four.
He wrote this song when he saw her there. Hands touching me, touching you. Here we go. There you have it. Confession time. Of course, that confession went to the top 20. Gave him a Grammy. There you go.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, what do you think
well,
of that, Sarge? Save him. Save him. Tell us, is this a good thing? And it became a national song that you hear at ball games and you hear at events and people love singing it. But this is who he wrote the song to, a four-year-old girl, touching you. When he says talking, touching warm, what the hell is that? Did she go potty in her diaper? I don't know. Now
all right,
that.
All right. Now, look, look. Now, admittedly,
oh, yeah, I went too far.
Okay, so. Like, if you want to draw those conclusions from those lyrics, be my guest.
What other conclusions can I draw to?
I don't think many people are necessarily going to share them with you.
What other conclusions can we draw to when he's that's the inspiration of a song, and those lyrics are kind of explicit.
Well, he didn't say he was going to have sex with her. He's just touching.
Yeah, was he sniffing her hair? That's all I want to know. Did he try to sniff her hair?
Help me, Alan. All right. Okay, I'm a teacher. Here you go, Pat. I'm not going to have sex with you. Come here, let me just touch your little titty. I'm not having sex. Oh, quit your whining. You're in third grade. You're a big girl now.
Oh, my God, Brian.
Touching is bad, Pat. You can't just not. You can't touch. You can't touch kids. You would be the worst Santa Claus. Mommy, Santa Claus won't let me go. He's trying to leave. You're wrapping your arm around it.
Well,
get over here.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, fella. You know, like I said, I don't know. But look, when you talk about this stuff about historical revision, I don't know if there's too much today. Like, the so-called great legal minds of today would have anything to say to people like Aristotle or Cicero or Aquinas or Grotius or Hobbes or Montesquieu or Hume or Mills or any of them others. What do we get today? Jack Smith and Fannie Willis? Please, give me a break.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you, can anybody hear me? I think I'm down.
Anybody hear me? Okay. Okay, next person. Here we go, Sarge. Ready? Get on your high horse, Sarge. You're a judge. I'm going to tell everybody else. Here we go, Henry Ford. Henry Ford, you know who Henry Ford was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I know you're going to let. Okay. Oh, I know you're going to get down on this one.
Well, Henry Ford was an anti-Semitic. In fact, not only was he an anti-Semitic, he loved Hitler. He loved Hitler. He thought Hitler was the best. He was a Hitler sympathizer. I think even Ford actually gave him a car, if I'm not, even though it might have some cool things in it. Yeah. So anyway, Sarge, he moved us forward, even though he loved Hitler. What do you say about that? I mean, let me go first, Ellen.
When people think of Henry Ford, though, I mean, you got to think of what most people think of when they hear the name Henry Ford. The first thing that comes to their mind is, because it definitely comes to mind, even though I know everything you just said, I know everything about him you just said, industrialist who created the assembly line and made the mass production of the Model T box. Okay?
Right.
That's the first thing you think. You don't think anti-Semite and Hitler sympathizer, even though those are all part of his legacy.
Yeah.
I'm not denying it. Yeah. But you got to say this, too. When the war against Hitler started, he was one of the most instrumental in helping to defeat him. He created the Ford, the plant, the Willow Run Ford plant, that when it was running at peak efficiency, was turning out one B-24 bomber every hour. The B-24 was significant in winning the air war over Europe.
And you could back me up on that.
A complex heavy bomber that had 40,000 parts. They were building one of them every hour.
Okay. But also, let me just put a little tip
in
there.
Jeep,
correct me if I was wrong, Sarge, that you know who was one of the contributors of the German side, even though we got into the war? Westinghouse. The Germans love the products of Westinghouse, and there's a whole thing going on there. You know, when the washers and the dryers of Westinghouse and they had all this other stuff that they were doing, they also helped furnish the war from the other side, from the Nazis.
Well, all that's
story.
True, but again, when the war against Hitler started, were these people hugely instrumental in creating the enormous logistical chain that the United States used to defeat its enemies in World War II, especially Germany? I mean, they were bombing the Ford Opel plant in Germany at Kassel regularly. I mean, Ford had plants in Germany. They were building automobiles for the war, and the B-24 bombers that Ford was making were helping to destroy factories he helped to establish in Germany.
Okay. Now, that's Sarge's argument. I go to Ellen.
Again,
Ellen is a liberal. And Ellen reminds you that Henry Ford, the car, and other things, progressors. Now, would you get rid of it? Would you change history knowing that here's what Henry Ford said? Ellen, here's what he said. Did you start it World War One? So Henry Ford said the Jews started the war in World War One. Hitler,
that's ridiculous.
That's what he said. And he says that you're a jerk if you're defending the Jews. He says Ford also became a Hitler sympathizer. We don't make rules. We just enforce them. And that's it. So if you condemn Henry Ford, cars will not be made. There will be no cars.
Wait a minute now. I'm going to add one to your side of the ledger, Brian. He wrote a book called The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem. It was a four-volume essay. So I'm not going to deny history, man. And he wrote this stuff, and he was definitely an anti-Semite.
Yes, he was.
No doubt about that.
Now, I'm asking the ladies, knowing this, you could stop this man. Knowing that if you stop this man, the future of cars will, I don't know, will be non-existent.
Wait a minute. Ford enabled mass production at a
Who created the Model T, though? Sarge.
Ford designed it. He designed it, but his contribution to the automotive industry was the ability to mass produce automobiles efficiently and economically, so the average person who owned an average salary could afford an automobile.
Fair. Okay, we only got 36 seconds. So Pat and Ellen, you are our jury. Now, if you condemn this man, there will be no mass production of automobiles in the United States. If you stop them, if you are one of those quote woke people, you know what? He beat his wife. We got to stop this motherfucker. There will be nothing going forward. What do you do? Do you forgive his sins so he can produce and mass produce automobiles and move America forward? Or do you hold him accountable for his personal belief of what a racist he was? What do you do?
I let you keep going.
You let him keep going. So he can have his racist beliefs and let him keep going to mass produce automobiles. That's your vote, right?
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you very much.
Pat?
Now, I'd like to say this, too. Since we've sort of bringing up the idea of automobiles and anti-Semites, the guiding impetus behind the development of the Volkswagen Beetle was none other than Adolf Hitler. He was the guy who even drew the preliminary sketches as to what it should look like. Remember, he was an automobile enthusiast, and he wanted the average German to be – he was inspired by the Model T, and he wanted the average German making an average salary be able to afford an automobile, so he came up with the people's car, the Volkswagen. What are you going to do about the Volkswagen? That was a hippie's car, wasn't it? The Beetle?
Yeah, the hippie car.
Love and peace. Adolf Hitler, the basic impetus and behind it. Adolf Hitler.
That's
before he went crazy.
Yes. Crazy. Crazy for being so cruel. Crazy. Now, moving on. You know, this is a lesson we got to learn, because nowadays we got powerful women and men, women and men, in corporate level decision making, moving America forward. But because of their personal mistakes in their life, they are being canceled by certain groups, and we are firing them and we're getting rid of them, and because of something they said or something they do. Now, case in point, there's a Dodger place. The LA Dodgers are in the playoff. Basically, they're in. But they're relying on a pitcher called Reyes. Just yesterday, he got arrested for beating up his wife. Just yesterday. Now, this is the second time this happened. The first time it happened, they suspended him for 20 games. They can't afford to suspend him for 20 games because the playoffs is around the corner. So this is what happened. So the Dodgers did a release with a pussy release. This is really funny. Basically, they said, well, he's not going to be traveling with the team. That's it? That's your statement? No, he's not traveling with the team. You're not going to release him? You're not going to suspend him? No, he's not traveling with the team. They're going to say, and we're investigating this, and we should get a conclusion after the World Series. But I'm kidding on the last part. But this man can win the World Series for the Dodgers. Now, should we interfere just because what he does personally make him a bad guy? Maybe she irritated him. You know what I mean? Maybe he said he's... Wow. Why you? You're irritating.
Well,
maybe she annoyed him. But
he well, fine.
What do we do?
Innocent, so he's proven guilty. That's one thing. Remember, he's innocent, proven guilty. We'll see what happens as a judicial proceeding. And as the decision as to what to do about him as far as the Dodgers are concerned is a corporate decision made by the people because it mostly directly affects their business. So they're going to have to make a decision on it. Whatever they decide, that's their business.
But, Sarge, I know that we have to do this contract. Disney does the same thing. But, come on, when we sign a contract, do we have to sign our lives away, meaning that we're going to have a domestic fight and we do it, we lose our career? I mean, he had a fight with his wife. Nobody condones that.
If your activities impinge upon the business negatively, then the business should have every right to do with your contract what they will, provided you have provisions in that contract allowing them to do so. Yes, of course.
And that's
should.
Why. But it's
I mean, look at this idiot! Look at this idiot! Look at this idiot who ruined Budweiser. And
yeah, that was a mistake.
Look at this!
Yeah, that
was
a mistake.
This fool, this corporate fool, has cost them
billions
really in
about
market
this.
Share.
Oh, Sarge's passionate. Get the headphones. He's passionate.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, man. Yeah, of course, these decisions. Yeah, when people, whatever, when you negatively affect your business. Stupid actions. Yeah, there ought to be a consequence to your employment if
when
your employer decides they don't want to put up with it.
Yes, yeah. I got to put a disclaimer. When Sarge gets passionate, he's really talking to the hearing impaired. Well, I don't know. He's just helping the hearing impaired.
Well, I understand that, but man, I'm just saying, man, why do we want to live in this consequence-free society these days?
They took a shot.
You break into a store and you steal $1,000 like that fool who got hit with them Sikh sticks over there in Sacramento. This fool actually thought he could rob Sikhs and not face any consequences. He had to be crazy. Walk out with a big ass rolling wastebasket, just scooping stuff in the wastebasket. And then he's sitting up there like he's going to walk out there like he got a right to take their stuff. And they go sit back and say, well, I know born to use historical oppression. I guess your title is steal stuff from my store. Hell no. They got them seasons to beat the dog shit out that low-down motherfucker. You damn right they do. Well, why do we think we're supposed to live in a consequence-free society, man? Where did this attitude come from?
Sarge. Josh, here's a piece of patty cake. You're going to love it. It'll make you relax. It'll take you to a higher source. Patty cake. It'll make you travel. Oh. Here we go.
I'm sorry, man. I'm looking at the disintegration all around us. Aren't you a little bit alone?
You know, it happens. Sorry,
I mean, everywhere you look, there's signs of disintegration. And we're not talking about things like in the past, like depression, where you had all this misery and stuff. And okay, those are things that have happened throughout history. There's literally a war with objective truth. There's a war with objective truth today that I don't think has ever existed in the history of the United States and even in the world.
You know, I have a dog that licks his balls. If I could do that, I don't even need a woman. Just thinking.
See what I mean?
I mean, we could lick our balls. I mean, why we go?
I don't know how it is that human beings decided we can't get along without members of the opposite. We get along without members.
I say we lick our balls.
I know I can
make a world a better place.
I can do it, but I'm not gonna be happy.
Get out of here. Get out.
I mean, I can do it, but I have to get okay. I got to do it without a woman. I do it without a woman. I can live my life. I think I can live into a ripe old age, but man, I'm not going to be happy.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could. I would have to, you know, sorry, there's certain men that can do that. I need to have a woman, just a scent of a woman. Hoo-ah. I need
I need to have a woman in my life.
You know what I need to have? I need to have the complaint in my life, the controversy in my life, the yelling in my life, just a woman.
Companionship. That feminine companionship. Yeah, that feminine companionship.
Exactly.
No other man can provide that element that you lack. The woman provides that element of the human nature
that
you don't have.
Ellen used to know this. I used to go to my girlfriend, "We're happy, aren't we?" "Yes, we are." "Okay, I just need that confirmation." You know, but let's go. Frank Sinatra.
Said, "Yes, we're very happy."
Yes, he used to say, "Yes, we're very happy." Okay. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, everybody. Now, you already know what asshole he was. Frank Sinatra was a great singer. Okay, we're in East Sarge.
He moved us mob.
Yes, and he was extremely abusive.
Up, baby.
Yeah, he was mobbed up. He was, during an argument with actress Ava Gardner, he fired a gun at the mattress to threaten her. If that's not bad enough, right after assaulting her, Sinatra then threatened to take his own life. Red flags as far as we could see them. Even if you were in the deepest, darkest parts of the ocean surrounded by crusty crabs and seaweed, you'll be able to see the red flags flying around this guy. He was a bad guy. Okay, I think we all, but his music was good. Now, I'm just saying, these are guys that would not get past the woke group. These are guys that would have been canceled and we would not have the fruits of their...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Back then, we didn't have the cancel society.
Exactly.
Okay, nowadays, you do something wrong, oh, take his music down, boycott his music, boycott her product.
Right. We would have no cars, no singing. And, okay, one more. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's on the list. Michael Jackson.
Oh, man. Bad guy.
Really?
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Michael Jackson went through it.
Yeah, okay, Pat. Pat said he's a bad guy. Pat, go for it. Why is he a bad guy?
Oh, I don't think they were lying about the kid thing.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean.
But you also have to think, Pat, okay, what kind of parents did these kids have to let them go?
Well, of course I'm thinking that. But you asked about him, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, exploiters are going to find weak people to exploit, and that's nothing new.
Right.
I think we always put the onus on the exploiter rather than the exploited. And, yeah, the fact might have some kind of character defect that made them vulnerable to that kind of exploitation. Yeah. Let's present on both sides of the equation.
Did you know that Michael Jackson was a Hitler sympathizer? Did you know that?
No.
No, seriously.
I didn't know that.
That was my
story. Okay, well, what evidence do you have of that? What evidence do you have
of that? Well, it says here that it's documented. Along the same lines of Hitler's sympathizer, people who defended... Oh, I'm sorry. He was not. They used it in a term of Michael Jackson defended pedophiles. So they said that he defended pedophiles. And I don't remember him defending any pedophiles, but he says that
yeah,
people who defend pedophiles,
either.
No matter who they are,
that.
Right, and are in wrong and will always be in the wrong. Michael Jackson is the king of pop. And dominated the charts with his like Thriller, blah, blah, blah. Also dominated headlines for other reasons. When the things he did to children behind closed doors at his Neverland Ranch were released in public, his reputation sadly soured. Michael Jackson's mega fans were shocked that their pop idol was capable of such horrors. It wasn't until after he died that people started to come forward, saying the accusations were true, and that there was no denying it anymore.
Brian, you'd be amazed at how many famous leftists were admirers of Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich, especially after the Soviets signed a non-aggression pact with the Nazis. They got the word from the International Comintern to speak favorably of that alliance and of Adolf Hitler. So you had W.E.B. Du Bois, who did it. You had Ezra Pound, who did it. You had Woody Guthrie, who did it. Later on, even after we knew all about what happened during World War II and all this other stuff, guess what? Louis Farrakhan said Adolf Hitler was a great man.
Yeah. And Donald Trump
said
the same thing.
What liberals love, a lot of liberals really admired Adolf Hitler. A lot of liberals.
Well, I don't know.
I got
know.
Called
I mean,
to the school once because my stepson decided to write a thesis why he thought that Hitler was a myth.
Wow.
That he, as the person he admired most. The kid was screwed
Oh, my
up.
God. That's
oh,
what your
man,
stepson?
I'm doing this.
Wow.
Man, look, during the 1930s, after Hitler became chancellor, and later on the Fuhrer, when he combined the office of the president and the chancellor, all kind of leftists all around the world were admiring of the economic miracle he wrought in Germany, almost full employment, bring back the Reichsmark to value, the national vigor everybody saw. All them leftists were crazy in admiration about Hitler. It was a stunt. Go back and talk about revisionism. You go back and look at all them people, all them leftists at the time who loved Hitler and what he was doing in Germany and wanted to do it in the United States.
And
then
you know what?
Crazy.
You brought up that's right. And you brought up a point. You know, if you watch Star Wars, the Chancellor was the evil guy, and the Chancellor talked to the Jedi's, and they said, if I could be the Chancellor and the King of the Senate, and he became, but meanwhile, he was doing dirty, dark things when he was the Chancellor. Same thing with Hitler. So Hitler is Star Wars.
Okay, he was, man. Hey, you know, that's what he did, man.
He was
I mean,
the Chancellor.
As a politician, I'm going to grant you, the guy knew how to maneuver. Perform parliamentary trick to get his opponents. I mean, in that respect, he was brilliant. I mean, he engineered his rise to power in the most. He sized up his enemies. He knew what their weaknesses were. He knew how to flatter them and all this other stuff. And he played them like fiddles.
Well,
and it was really astonishing the way he gained the power. It really was. And you got to remember, one thing about leftists, you got to understand. Leftists tend to be authoritarian. That's why they were so. That's why they had so much kinship with Hitler.
And Hitler, the people did not know Hitler's nanny was Jewish, and there was a rumor that he fell in love with her. Now, let's suppose that he fell in love with her, and then he ate her orally, and he had a taste for Jews.
Oh, no.
And then all of a sudden, ended up with.
Don't even
later
go
on what
there.
He did.
Okay. Oh, don't even go there, man. But let's look at what we do. Let's look at what we do know on the historical record about Hitler and his ambivalent attitude sometimes towards some Jews. His company commander was a guy named Captain Block, okay? And when he was in the trenches in World War One, his company commander recommended him for the highest decoration an enlisted man could receive in the German army at the time, which was the Iron Cross First Class. He was a Jew.
I went out with Jewish woman,
when Hitler,
and she did taste good.
Yeah, when Hitler came to power, he ensured that Captain Block, his former commanding officer, was able to get out of the country and emigrate from Germany. He did that regularly with many Jews that he had personal relationships with.
And I'm part Jewish, by the way. I am part Jewish.
All right, and he also made sure that many of the Jews that he thought should have it, he had to sign these certificates personally. They had a blood certificate, which would legally declare a Jew to be an Aryan German, and he signed hundreds of those things.
Right. But, you know, we go back in the Bible, and we send Moses to rescue the chosen people. It's like Moses says, hey, y'all, come work with me. And they go, well, I don't know, Moses. He goes, I got bagels. And they go, okay, cool, we'll follow you. And next thing you know, they're in the desert. And the Jews were complaining, it's kind of hot out here, and we got no sunscreen, and there's no bagels. And then all of a sudden, little bread come out of the sky. There are little flakes of bread come out there, and they're going, ooh, bread. And then Moses says, and his little flip-flops, I'll see you guys in 40 years.
Yeah, okay.
You guys talk among yourselves for 40 years. Teach. This is why I don't teach Sunday school anymore. They kicked me out and I'm banned from churches. But here we go.
Is that a surprise?
Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway, bad guy. He drank too much, he brawled and bragged too much, and he was a thankless son, and he was he was not a good father. But those are his bad deeds.
And a psychological basket case.
Yeah. I say
he was really, he was full of yeah.
Yeah.
Killed his suicide. Blew his head off with a shotgun.
Yeah, was he a good guy? He brought us great writings and great, can we do without him because he was a bad guy?
He was a flawed man who was a good,
yeah.
A great author.
Yeah, you said it.
He was daring. He had a great deal of physical courage, but he was a psychological basket case. He was a knight.
But he also did a lot of drugs. I mean, I know he was a drinker, but...
alcoholic to the teeth.
Oh, he was just awful. But you know what? You're right. You said the whole thing. When these people now in 2024, when we want to hang somebody or somebody beat his wife, why can't we say, you know, somebody beat his wife, let the police deal with it. Your job is playing, just throw a baseball. The police will deal with you. Why do we have to judge your personal life? Maybe you didn't really beat her. Maybe you accidentally pushed her and she fell down and hit her head against the doorknob and she has a big shiner. Who knows? It could have been an accident.
Well, it could have been. But look, like I said, man, we have the right to make judgments about things.
Right. Do we really? Do we really have to make
judgments?
Yes,
I think we do. I mean, I think we're supposed to say, there's been a chase of child abuse over there, but I'm agnostic about it. No, it's evil. It's wrong. You make a judgment about things that are clearly evil. You don't make judgments on the basis of inadequate information.
Let me just give you an example. Let's say you lived above me, but your window faces my bedroom, and I happen to be role playing with my girl, my white girl, who is a big fan of Roots. And there I am in my slave clothes, and she's whipping me with the belt. Now you're seeing this from your house, going, that ain't right. And you start calling the cops, and you're saying somebody's whipping somebody there, and we're saying we're just role-playing and having sex. What you interpret is wrong. I may say, you know, this is the only way that she can reach orgasm.
So in other words, I have just made a judgment on the basis of inadequate information.
Right.
What did I just say a minute ago?
Exactly.
What did I say a minute ago?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We tend to make judgment calls, and we tend to – would, through our interpretation, ruin a person's life. Aristotle,
But that's what I'm saying, Brian. I'm talking about making a judgment on the basis of adequate information.
You have collected
a reasonable basis of information from which to make a judgment. You are obligated to make a judgment if you have any sense of morality or decency. There is such a thing as objective truth. It just is.
That's true.
No matter how much leftists try to deny it.
But we don't have that anymore. We see that's where we lost in the 2000s, and even in the late 90s, that we came to this new cancel culture that we can't have objective truth. That's the point what we're trying to do. For instance, I will go to Pat. No, I'm going to go to Ellen. Is she still around? I'd like to test her once around because this is when Ellen polishes the house and do the house cleaning. Ellen, are you around? Aristotle is a Greek philosopher. Ellen, are you here? She may not be here. She sneaks out once in a while. It's a locker in.
Sure.
Okay. Pat, are you there, Pat?
Yeah.
Okay. You know who Aristotle is, right? He's a philosopher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, did you know that how he stated? He says women have fewer teeth than men. That's what he said. He says he's rendering women are incomplete species. Women also didn't contribute to the continuation of the human race because it was men who shaped children into human beings. That's what Aristotle thought. Men were the one who shaped children into human beings.
Wasn't he?
Well, he was our philosopher. I don't know if you can call him. And then he used to say he delayed women's rights for hundreds to thousands of years because of his assumptions regarding women. Many modern philosophers debunked his major theories and denounced his defense of slavery. He defended slavery as it was beneficial to society. This was the greatest thinker of all time. This is what he thought.
Almost everybody did at the time.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So what do you think? What's your judge? Argue with, is he a good guy or bad guy? I don't know.
Bad guy. Bad guy.
He was a bad guy.
He developed a concept called the Aristotelian teaching method, which is one of the greatest methods to educate. One of the greatest principles in pedagogy is the Aristotelian method of asking questions and getting answers. So you got to include the good things he did along with the bad things he believed.
That's the only bad thing that he thought.
What are you saying about context here? Context.
Yeah,
so
if you look at anybody too close, you're going to have that.
Yeah, but should we stop how he thinks? He was one of our best thinkers in the world. If we knew that he thought slavery was beneficial and he thought women were incomplete and that men are the ones who shape our youngins and not the women, if we knew he was thinking this, would we move him forward to move us forward? Or would we stop him?
Are we really
going to
be so condemnatory of a man who lived in a patriarchal society? Patriarchy was the norm of society. Men were expected to impart their values onto their children. So what he was saying wasn't wrong in the context of the society that he lived in.
Yeah, but
people listened
to him for years past the point.
But would you silence him?
You can discard what is
that.
Bad, and you can accept what is good. That's the thing about God. You don't have to believe everything everybody says. Or accept everything everybody says. You look at what he says that is valuable, and you discard that which is not.
Right, but is his bad so bad that he should not be? He should be stopped?
No,
or should we let him go?
No. Again,
no.
Not given his historical context.
Well, she agrees with you.
Absolutely not.
She agrees with you. Don King, everybody. Don King, good guy, bad guy. Well, in 1967,
both
only in America. In 1967, he murdered an employee by stomping them to death.
That's right.
That's probably one of the most horrific. Yeah, that's what he did.
He did.
That's probably. Yeah, he murdered them, huh? That's what he did.
Went to jail for it.
He went to jail for it. Yeah, he did. He did. He said that's probably one of the most horrific ways to die we ever heard of. King was convicted of non-neglect manslaughter and spent 3 years. He only spent 3 years in jail, 11 months in prison before being pardoned, by the way.
He didn't get charged with murder?
Well,
he did.
He got convicted of manslaughter,
He got
think.
Convicted, but only
first
3 years.
First degree manslaughter.
Yeah.
He got convicted of first degree manslaughter because they said he didn't have the intent to kill a guy. He just wanted to beat him up badly. And he died in the process. That qualified the charge of first degree manslaughter.
Right.
You mean I could do that to somebody and say I didn't intend to kill him and get away with it?
No. We've got to remember now, when you charge someone with first degree murder in every state, you got to establish an intent to kill them. That is the prosecutor's duty to establish that they killed him with intent or it was the result of a felony murder, meaning a murder committed in the attempt or the commission of another felony. So you got to establish one of the two, either committed in the commission of another felony, that's felony murder, then you don't have to prove the intent of murder, or if it's a standalone first-degree murder charge, you have to prove intent to kill and murder, and you know that your activities were unlawful. Yes. It's called mens rea. You got to prove the mens rea or the intent.
Well, there you have it. And here we go. Johnny Cash. Same thing. He was a great musician. What did he do? Well, he literally, arson is not something you just brush up because you're probably a celebrity. He lit something on fire. The disaster ended up killing. Oh, okay. Well, what Johnny did was, being an outlaw, it may not surprise you that Cash was the cause of a 1965 wildfire at the La Padres National Park. The disaster ended up killing 49 of the park's 53 endangered California condor vultures. Cash later was quoted as saying, "I don't care about your damn yellow buzzards." That's what he said.
California people going, you killed a bird.
I know. He goes,
why
I don't care about your damn yellow birds. That's what Cass said. And then he said, the earth should be respected, especially by, and then you get the liberals saying, the earth should be respected, especially the wildlife within. And brushing of literal arson is not something you just brush off because you're a celebrity, unless you're Johnny Cash, apparently. So they're saying he's a bad guy because he started a fire and he killed some birds. And that's it. They would have canceled his ass like crazy. Now, should we, Pat, some birds died. Labeled bad guy, or still wrote some good songs?
I don't think it was intentional to start the fire.
Okay. All righty.
Nobody
Chuck
does
Berry.
That on purpose.
That's true.
Wasn't
I don't know. There are some people.
About a young girl
there
like
are some
Chuck
people
Berry.
Who start fires on purpose. There are some people. Trust me, there are some people who start fires.
Oh, arsonists, but. That particular event, I don't think so.
Are you, anybody familiar with Chuck? Pat, are you familiar with Chuck Berry? Singer,
wasn't
black
there a
singer?
Young girl involved?
Yes.
Young girl involved.
Do you know Chuck?
You know
right.
Chuck? Yes, sir.
You know Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chuck Berry had a famous song. You remember Chuck Berry song? Let me see. Here we go. Here's a little bit of it. It was young girls, and he was evil. Here's Chuck Berry's song right here. Let me see if I can get it. Here we go. Here's this big song.
A little bitty boy, my grandmother. When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o.
Beautiful.
And then Mama took me to grammar school. But I stopped off in the vestibule. Every time that bell would ring, catch me playing with my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o. You know what I heard? I hear two girls over here singing in harmony. That's all right, honey. This is a free country. Live like you want to live, baby. Yeah. Ain't nobody gonna knock it, darling. Mm-mm. Yeah, freedom. Yes, sir. There's one guy right over here singing mine, too. That's all right, brother. Yes, sir. You got a right, baby. Ain't nobody gonna bother you. Yeah. Once I was climbing the garden wall, I slipped and had a terrible fall. I fell so hard I heard bells ring, but held on to my ding-a-ling. Future Parliament out there singing. Oh yeah. Once I was swimming across Turtle Creek, man, them snappers all around my feet. Sure was hard swimming across that thing with both hands holding my feet.
You get it. You can, it kind of catch you, though. Let's see if you can do it. Once I was going to Pat's Bakery. Oh, my God. It felt like slavery. She had them niggas working 9 to 5.
You should be encouraging people to call
us. Yes. Yes. Hello.
Brian, I cannot believe you would condemn anybody. who has an affection for onanism. I cannot believe that you would do such a thing, but that is utterly uncharacteristic of you. How dare you?
I know. Bad guy. Bad host. He was included in taking a 14-year-old girl across state lines and tax evasion. Later in 1987, he was charged with assaulting a woman in a New York hotel with damages reported of lacerations of the South, requiring five stitches. I don't know what the South meaning. Requiring five stitches, two loose teeth, and contusions to the face. Somehow, he was let off with a $250 fine after pleading guilty. But that doesn't mean we think he's ever the same again. Was he a good guy? There was nothing good about Chuck Berry. There were rumors about him on heroin. Wasn't there rumors about him on drinking and heroin and all that kind of stuff? Would I remember? I don't know. There you go.
That was back in the day.
Okay, Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, not a good guy. Not a good guy.
Why?
Well,
that theory of relativity thing led to the atom bomb. Bad man.
That's true. You wouldn't have that movie. You would not have that movie. Was it from Einstein? What is the movie that's out right now with Barbie?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, you would not have that without Albert. It should be Albert.
Can't have that knowledge thing. That knowledge thing is dangerous.
Yeah. He left us a list of rules.
Quantum mechanics thing. Man, that quantum mechanics, man, I'm telling you, we don't need to know about that stuff. Hey, you a know-nothing now?
Now, we could have stopped Einstein, and we would have never had the atomic bomb, and we would have been speaking Japanese
all it meant was that he wouldn't have been the one to develop the theory. Somebody else would have eventually.
You think somebody else would have eventually developed the theory?
I know someone else would have. Because physics was known. The properties of basic physics were known. Albert Einstein knew them. He just had the kind of mind that could envision new concepts in them. Eventually, somebody would have stumbled upon it.
Could have been Willie the Professor. We went on. I'll go on tomorrow and finish this. There's a lot more people. Albert Einstein, basically what he said was he didn't like women. He left a list of rules for his wife if they were to stay married. These rules included cooking three meals and delivering them to his room. On top of that, she would forego traveling with him or sitting with him in public. His wife could not sit with him in public. And that she stopped talking if he told her to stop. The poor woman couldn't do anything without his permission, which highlights some pretty big issues with his ego, misogyny, and general poor strength of character. That's who he was. Now, if we knew how he treated women like that, would we have moved him forward? And he created the atom bomb, and he saved America from the Japanese.
He did not create the atom bomb. Don't say that.
His theory did. His theory is evolution.
Without the theory of relativity, we'd be stuck in the dark age.
Let's get it straight. He did not create the atom bomb. In fact, there were Hungarian physicists who were worried that the Nazis would develop the atom bomb before the Allies did, and they wanted to alert the Allies to the research that the Germans were performing with heavy water experimentation in order to, do nuclear fission and create an atomic weapon. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to alert the Allies to the German effort to build an atomic weapon.
I agree with you. Now, I guess we got to end this, but I'm just saying, because he didn't let his wife talk in public and he did not allow her to sit with him, he had his thing about marriages. She must make three meals a day. Would he be considered a bad guy?
Women would not go for that shit.
They say, your hands are
not great. Back then, you know what? They would have burned you to the stake. You'd be like a witch. We're going to burn her. We can't let her talk. This is what they did. She hadn't cooked three meals a day. She had to deliver them to his room. She could not talk. She could not sit with him in public.
She had to stop talking if he told her to stop. She couldn't do anything without his permission. I don't see anything wrong with this already. I think he's a good guy.
Well, you know what? If he didn't want her to sit with him, I would be saying, good, I don't want to sit with your stinky ass anyway.
You know what? You're the reason he probably invented the bomb. Here's my theory. I'm going to put it to you, Sal.
He didn't invent the bomb.
I will quit saying that. If I say
it
enough, people will believe.
He wasn't even on the Manhattan Project.
His middle name is Oppenheimer. His middle name is Oppenheimer.
All right. Why don't you talk about the fact that he was an atheist or the fact that he was probably a Marxist? Why don't you talk about that?
I don't know
that?
If he was an atheist. I like his good points about how he treats
women. He
was.
He wrote about it.
Well, as far as I'm concerned.
He said he wasn't an atheist. He said he preferred to call himself an agnostic. But I guarantee you, look at the sum of what he said, it's accurate to call him an agnostic, maybe an atheist.
Right. Oh, one last one. Do you want to hear it, or are we saving for tomorrow? Martin Luther King. He's on the list.
Oh, man, I can't wait to get to that one. Oh, I can't wait to get to that one.
Yeah.
I can't wait to
that.
Unlike any other historical figure, he's the one that's just got to be off limit. Not with me. Everybody's subject to criticism. No.
Martin Luther King has to be off limit. He's sacred.
See, that's what I mean.
He's the martyr of all black people.
Yeah. So in other words, we can't have context about him, but we got to have nuance about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson.
Really?
Even though Martin Luther King regularly quoted Thomas Jefferson for all of his racism, Martin Luther King regularly quoted Thomas Jefferson.
Okay. Well. Here's quickly. We got to raise hands. Everybody, I want to thank King. I got to thank, don't leave yet, but I want to thank the Kings of Kings. King's new song's coming out. Nobody won the $50 I had in my pocket. Let's see if Ellen can win for you.
Wait a minute. What do you mean nobody won? You can give me a chance at it.
Nobody won. There was a contest. Right, King? There was a contest in the beginning of the show. My daughter can smell money in my pocket. She can smell money in my pocket. And so before she got up and started, I said, I have $50 that's burning in pocket, and if you can guess, King's song, finish the sentence, I don't give a blank, you can win the $50.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Ellen, you should know this. You should know what it is. What is it?
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't give a damn.
Frankly, my dear.
Frankly, my dear.
Hold on,
I gotta
take a phone call. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Well, did she win the money or not, Brian? Did she win the money or not? Are you gonna give it a go?
She didn't win the money. What do you got, King? And that was King's song. I don't give a damn. That's it. So if you pay attention to the show, seriously, because King inspired me to do this. We'll be giving away stuff now. There's stuff that people send me, and there's stuff that I have, and there's stuff that maybe whatever, once in a while, I need to get rid of it. For instance, I've been playing it's the best video game ever. Call of Duty World War II. My God, it's brilliant. I'm so addicted to it. I have to get it out of my house. It's practically brand new. I only played it 5 times. I mean, you know how much they're selling for? They're like $17, $29. I sent it to you with an autographed copy of me as a Jew. As Brian Babisky. I'm Brian Babisky. Anyway, this is why I have no audience. The Jews left. And then later, you could win... from Patty's Bakery, Patty Cake. We're selling the forest cake, the black forest cake.
from Patty's Bakery, Patty's Cakes.
With how much weed?
You can
weed
win that tomorrow.
It?
Huh? Yeah, a lot of weed in it. They said it's a porridge cake. I feel like I can almost hear the wild animals now. Squeak, squeak. I have to eat it. I'm in the forest. Get me out of the forest. It's a porridge cake. That's it. You and don't forget her gummies and her brownies. They're going off the shelf.
That's Alan. You got the wrong person.
Yeah. What do you, oh, Pat, it was like with Alan. What is it? Hey, Sarge, I feel so bad. Alan never smoked weed, Sarge. She never smoked weed. And then she got into a situation where she was forced to smoke some weed, peer pressure. She bent to it. It was just people around her saying, smoke it or die. Okay, I want to live. So she smoked.
And you were the instigator behind that?
I was not. Oh, I told her, no, Ellen, tell the truth. I was not. I was the one that says,
you
may not want to try. Huh? No. It was the mean girls who did it. It was the mean girls. You're going to blame me? It was the mean girls. And you know who they were.
Yeah, well, you didn't stop them.
I couldn't. I'm not going to stop those mean girls. They were mean. They were like, four. I'm not jumping in there. They're going, Ellen, go ahead and do it. And she's looking at me like I was going to be the savior of Jesus. I'm going, You're not going to bring me to the. You're not going to pin me to the tree. Ellen, do it. It was the mean girls, and she said, okay. I go, uh-oh. And the first thing she did was, so she hit it, her very first weed, and I'll never forget what she said. So she goes, okay. I feel funny.
No, okay.
And then you go, oh, look at the birds. There is no birds out there, and they were teasing her.
You
so I am sorry.
In the tree.
Pat, she thought she saw birds. There was no birds going on there. They go, Ellen, look at the birds.
No, she's never been to the French Quarter. If you've ever been to the French Quarter, they have trees on the neutral ground.
Trust me. They go, Ellen, look at the birds. Ellen goes, where? And they're laughing. And Ellen goes, oh, I see the birds. There's no birds, Ellen. There's no birds.
There were birds.
Ellen goes, okay, do we have to walk to the hotel or can we fly? And then she started flapping her arms like she was a pigeon. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. No, I'm only kidding.
He's so full of it.
No, one time, Pat, this is funny. So it was like in a hotel, right? She did take another one. I don't know what made her do it. So she took another hit. And then she said this, honest to God, I forgot my underwear. I go, what? It took you to smoke weed. What? I feel like I don't have one. Am I lying? Yes or no? It took you weed to find that out. Yes or no, Ellen? I am not wearing underwear. Well, thank you.
Oh my God.
That's what she smoked her weed. That's what she did. That's what she did, Pat. Anyway, thanks for getting Ellen high. Tomorrow, Ellen goes back to her regular job. And you can see her if you're in Louisiana. Stop in at Walmart, and you'll see Ellen there in the garden area. Say hello to her and give her a hug. That's what we do.
Please
don't. Please don't touch the merchandise. Uh-oh, they're from the Brian Show again. They're hugging that woman. So there you go. Say hello to her. Pat, and her psychic, Pat, tell us where your website is and Pat's bakery where she is making patty cakes, the best cakes that will get you high and stoned. Patty cakes where you don't, if you want a trip, you go on a trip and you don't have to pack your bags. Patty cakes.
You're supposed to be promoting Ellen.
Well, Ellen also has a new book coming out. She's working on her book, and she's continuous doing that, even though she's in Walmart. And Ellen, do you remember you want to promote your book? And it's an audio book, and that's going to come out soon. And do you know the name of it, Ellen? Of course she knows the name of it. Ellen.
Yeah.
It's the first three books in my real or fantasy series. I'm rewriting them.
There you go. There you go. That's coming out. Pat, what's your website again? It's, go ahead.
SpiritualNiagara.ca.
SpiritualNiagara.ca. There you go. Always hit for Pat. She's one of the best psychics around. And you'll see Sarge right now hunting down liberals and shrinking their heads and wearing necklaces around. So he's a hunting. He's hunting them down. But Sarge, on a serious note, Sarge is working this with the election this year or next year to make sure everything is tally right. Sarge can tell you that, right, Sarge? I forgot what you said.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm working with people. We're working very hard to restore election integrity, in particularly 5 or 6 key swing states. Most of the country just has a normal amount of corruption. It's not necessarily outcome determinative. We're not worried about those states. We're worried about the ones where there is solid evidence that the election interference did, in fact, alter the outcome. That's what we're concentrating. We're talking about 44,000 states in 44,000 votes in 5 states. Total, out of all 5, changed the outcome of the election. And there was substantial evidence of election chicanery, and that's what we're making sure. Look, we may hate it and accept the results of an election that we believe has election integrity. We are. I mean, if that's what the American people want to vote these anti-American destructive bastards in, that's fine. That they have an absolute right to do so. But we insist that it be done with a measure of integrity and it be done in complete accordance with the United States Constitution. That's all. We'll live with the results then if that's the case.
There you go. Sorry, just doing that. So you have a lot of things about yes. Yes.
Brian, are you getting ready to hang up? Because I have an appointment and I have to go get ready.
Yeah, I'm hanging up right now. They also have self-driving taxis are hitting the road right now. So you're going to see a lot of taxis who are by themselves or on the road right now. So there you go. Ellen, I want to thank everything. Thank you guys for coming in. This 3 hours goes by so fast. I'm so glad we had this time together just to laugh, to sing a joke or two. Things we just get started, and before you know it, it is time to say adieu. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. See you tomorrow.
Are you on tomorrow?
I am on tomorrow, yes.
Yeah, what's the subject matter going to be again?
Now. Huh?
What's the subject matter going to be again?
I don't know, but we'll go on. We'll continue going on with these people that you think are great people, but they're really assholes, and they suck ass. But tomorrow,
Brian,
but tomorrow there's we're going to probably get – that's right, everybody. Pat has a thing for tomorrow. She has to do her pre-thing. Pat, really quickly, if you want us to know, so we can pray for you.
Well, it's just a pre-op for the surgery on Thursday, and hopefully I survive it this time.
You will. You will survive.
Well,
and she'll be leaving us.
Well,
she has Thursday. Yeah. She's getting her surgery done. Thursday she goes into surgery. And we're going to lose her for 5.
You ain't got to worry about the pre-op. It's the surgery that's really concerning.
Yeah. But like I said, as you're under, you're going to see me on the other side going, hello, Pat. I'll be guiding you while you're under.
Why, you planning on dying?
Come back here, Pat. It's not your time to go yet. Get your behind back here, Pat. It's not your time to go yet.
Yeah, throw me back in again. Push me in the light. I'm gonna push you in the light. No, don't do it, Pat. I will be there.
I'll try to be back. I have intentions to be back.
you will. I'm gonna put our spiritual self.
You'll
see me and Ellen.
You'll be back, man. That's spirit.
You will.
That's
we're gonna lose her. Oh, in fact, we're gonna lose her for 5 days, and I was supposed to. I don't know. Oh, I can't do it. I'm gonna do it. What time is your appointment for tomorrow, Pat?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. You're 3 hours different from us.
I have to leave here for, 12:15 or so.
What I'm going to try to do on air is to call her. I'm going to try to call her from the studio because Pat says that she will have her phone after the surgery.
So if she has her phone after the surgery, we're going to call her and see how she's doing, especially when she says under anesthesia and drugs. It'll be funny shit. So we'll take advantage of that.
Well, it's a five-hour surgery, so you'd have to be on a little later to do it.
We'll be on, and we'll take advantage while she's under and record so she can hear the silly stuff that she says while she answers some serious questions while she's under some heavy sedated drugs. It'll be fun. All right, everybody.
Well,
and Mr. Solutions in the studio. Yeah, it should be fun. We're going to miss you, Pat. Let me know what's going on.
Okay.
Mr. Solutions here. He just doesn't want to say anything. I want to say hello to Mr. Solution, too. He's always here listening
hello,
to the show.
Mr.
Thank you,
Solution.
Sir. That's it. He's right there. All right, everybody. See you tomorrow, 7:30. I'll be back on. Sarge, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Ellen's always been a pleasure. David King, and of course, you Patty Cakes, Patty Cakes, Patty Cakes, Baker Man. Stick his dick in the oven. And anyway. you know what, Pat? What I'm gonna do is when you wake up, I'm gonna send you an erotic audio story that I'm gonna read. Ellen's gonna write it, and I'm gonna read it for you. It'll be a gift, so you can hear the audio book when you're laying in bed. And it goes like this, and then this quick voice like, "Hello, hello, Pat.
Oh God.
Today we're gonna get erotic on your ass. let's see, page one. What's that word? Orgasm." That's how it's going to start off. I think you're going to enjoy the book. And then you know how it ends, Pat? You know how it ends? Because it's audio?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Brian.
It'll end with the tobo.
Brian, I'm going to – I have to hang up so I can go get ready.